Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We'll routine to call a scene to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights of the round table, our shows are more, we're able. So many times we give and blind to our quiet unseen label. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
hear... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away!
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
He is, King Shazir the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
I have some fake news to expose for you guys again today. I guess that's every day, isn't it? With the liberal media spewing their lies nonstop. But today's example comes from the trusted media source, Time Magazine, and their White House correspondent, Zeke Miller, who tweeted out the lie, the fake news, the hoax, that Donald Trump, on his first day in office, removed the bust of Martin Luther King from the Oval Office. This based off of a photograph that he saw taken inside the Oval Office during Trump's first day of the table where the bust sits, but he didn't see it because someone was standing in the way, and he started tweeting out that Donald Trump removed it from the Oval Office. What is true is that when Barack Obama became the president, he removed the bust of Winston Churchill from the Oval Office, who was the Prime Minister of England during World War II. You know, our closest ally in defeating the Nazis. So Obama had his bust removed from the Oval Office and probably put in a closet somewhere, and so Donald Trump had said that on his first day, he's going to put Winston Churchill's bust back, and so the busts were in people's minds. And so this liberal lunatic was so paranoid, and he had busts on his mind, that he saw the table where the bust of Martin Luther King sits, but it was obstructed, like I said, by someone standing in the way. He just construed that Donald Trump must have taken it and thrown it away! As soon as this fake news started spreading, a White House aide had to run into the Oval Office, take a photo of the bust, and post it on Twitter to prove that it is, in fact, still there. The fake news reporter then tweeted out a correction saying the MLK bust is still in the Oval Office. It was obscured by an agent and the door. You idiot! Somebody responded to his tweet saying only someone looking for a reason to call him racist would even look for that, much less assume it was gone, not obscured. You were clearly looking for an opportunity to call him a racist. Here's the new White House Press Secretary Sean Spicer ripping the mainstream media for spreading this fake news and other fake stories already just on his first day as the president.
Some members of the media were engaged in deliberately false reporting. For all the talk about the proper use of Twitter, two instances yesterday stand out. One was a particularly egregious example in which a reporter falsely tweeted out that the bust of Martin Luther King Jr. had been removed from the Oval Office. After it was pointed out that this was just plain wrong, the reporter casually reported and tweeted out and tried to claim that a Secret Service agent must have just been standing in front of it. This was irresponsible and reckless. Secondly, photographs of the inaugural proceedings were intentionally framed in a way, in one particular tweet, to minimize the enormous support that had gathered on the National Mall.
This is another fake news story that the mainstream media has been running with, trying to show that President Obama's inauguration had more people come out to see it than Donald Trump's, proving beyond a doubt that nobody likes Donald Trump, when in reality Trump supporters had jobs that they had to be at, unlike Obama supporters who leech off of the government and didn't have anything else to do. Also, they forget to mention that it was raining that day, and so a lot of people didn't want to come and stand out in the rain for hours and hours. And not to mention that many of them were scared that the protesters were going to attack them, which they did. Look at this garbage news story. Donald Trump attacks the Time magazine reporter for the mistake about the MLK bust. And it was just a mistake that he spread this fake news, this obvious idiotic story that he concocted in his own paranoid mind. Donald Trump is just attacking that poor innocent reporter. I'm Mark Dice, thanks for watching. Subscribe to my channel if you're new here and check back every day for new reports as we will continue to pound more nails into the coffin of the fake news spreading mainstream media manipulators.
Well, I want to thank everybody, very, very special people, and it is true. This is my first stop, officially. We're not talking about the balls, and we're not talking about even the speeches, although they did treat me nicely on that speech yesterday. I always call them the dishonest media, but they treated me nicely. But I want to say that there is nobody that feels stronger about the intelligence community and the CIA than Donald Trump. There's nobody. And the wall behind me is very, very special. We've been touring for quite a while. And I'll tell you what, 29? I can't believe it. Oh, 28. We've got to reduce it. But that's amazing. And we really appreciate what you've done in terms of showing us something very special. And your whole group, these are really special, amazing people. Very, very few people could do the job you people do. And I want to just let you know, I am so behind you. And I know maybe sometimes you haven't gotten the backing that you've wanted. And you're going to get so much backing. Maybe you're going to say, please don't give us so much backing. Mr. President, please, we don't need that much backing. But you're going to have that, and I think everybody in this room knows it. You know, the military and the law enforcement, generally speaking, but all of it, but the military gave us tremendous percentages of votes. We were unbelievably successful in the election with getting the vote of the military, and probably almost everybody in this room voted for me, but I will not ask you to raise your hands if you did. But I would guarantee a big portion, because we're all on the same wavelength, folks. We're all on the same wavelength, right? Who knows? Took Brian about 30 seconds to figure that one out, right? Because we know we're on the same wavelength. But we're going to do great things. We're going to do great things. We've been fighting these wars for longer than any wars we've ever fought. We have not used the real abilities that we have. We've been restrained. We have to get rid of ISIS. We have to get rid of ISIS. We have no choice. Radical Islamic terrorism, and I said it yesterday, has to be eradicated just off the face of the earth. This is evil. This is evil. And, you know, I can understand the other side. We can all understand the other side. There can be wars between countries. There can be wars. You can understand what happened. This is something nobody can even understand. This is a level of evil that we haven't seen. And you're going to go to it, and you're going to do a phenomenal job. But we're going to end it. It's time. It's time right now to end it. You have somebody coming on who is extraordinary. You know, for the different positions of secretary of this and secretary of that and all of these great positions, I'd see 5, 6, 7, 8 people. And we had a great transition. We had an amazing team of talent. And by the way, General Flynn is right over here. Put up your hand, Mike. What a good guy. And Reince and my whole group. Reince, you know, right? You know, they don't care about Reince. He's a, like this political guy that turned out to be a superstar, right? We don't have to talk about Reince. But we did. We had just such a tremendous, tremendous success. So when I'm interviewing all of these candidates that Reince and his whole group is putting in front, it went very, very quickly. And in this case, went so quickly because I would see 6 or 7 or 8 for Secretary of Agriculture, who we just named the other day, Sonny Perdue, governor, former governor of Georgia, fantastic guy. But I'd see 6, 7, 8 people for a certain position. Everybody wanted it. But I met Mike Pompeo, and it was the only guy I met. I didn't want to meet anybody else. I said, cancel everybody else. Cancel. Now, he was approved, essentially, but they're doing little political games with me. You know, he was one of the three. Now, last night, as you know, General Mattis, fantastic guy, and General Kelly got approved. And Mike Pompeo was supposed to be in that group. It was going to be the three of them. Can you imagine all of these guys? People respect, you know, they respect that military sense. All my political people, they're not doing so well. The political people aren't doing so well, but you. And we're going to get them all through, but some will take a little bit longer than others. But Mike was literally, I had a group of what, we have 9 different people? Now, I must say, I didn't mind canceling 8 appointments. That wasn't the worst thing in the world. But I met him, and I said, he is so good. Number one in his class at West Point. Now, I know a lot about West Point. And to be one year, I'm a person that very strongly believes in academics. In fact, every time I say I had an uncle who was a great professor at MIT for 35 years, who did a fantastic job in so many different ways academically. He was an academic genius. And then they say, there's Donald Trump, an intellectual. Trust me, I'm like a smart person. And I recognized immediately. So he was number one at West Point, and he was also essentially number one at Harvard Law School. And then he decided to go into the military. And he ran for Congress. And everything he's done has been a home run. People like him, but much more importantly to me, everybody respects him. And when I told Paul Ryan that I want to do this, I would say he may be the only person that was not totally thrilled. Right, Mike? Because he said, I don't want to lose this guy. But you will be getting a total star. You're going to be getting a total gem. This is a gem. And I just... You'll see. Yes. And many of you know him anyway. But you're going to see. And again, we have some great people going in. But this one is something going to be very special. Because this is one, if I had to name the most important, this would certainly be perhaps, you know, in certain ways you could say my most important. You do the job like everybody in this room is capable of doing. There can be, and the generals are wonderful, and the fighting is wonderful. But if you give them the right direction, boy, does the fighting become easier. And boy, do we lose so fewer lives and win so quickly. And that's what we have to do. We have to start winning again. You know, when I was young, and when I was, of course, I feel young. I feel like I'm 30, 35, 39. Somebody said, are you young? I said, I think I'm young. You know, I was stopping when we were in the final month of that campaign. Four stops, five stops, seven stops, speeches, in front of 25, 30,000 people, 15,000, 19,000 from stop to stop. I feel young. But when I was young, and I think we're all sort of young, when I was young, we were always winning things in this country. We'd win with trade. We'd win with wars. At a certain age, I remember hearing from one of my instructors, the United States has never lost a war. And then after that, it's like, we haven't won anything. We don't win anymore. The old expression, to the victor belong the spoils. You remember I always used to say, keep the oil. I wasn't a fan of Iraq. I didn't want to go into Iraq. But I will tell you, when we were in, we got out wrong. And I always said, in addition to that, keep the oil. Now, I said it for economic reasons. But if you think about it, Mike, if we kept the oil, you probably wouldn't have ISIS because that's where they made their money in the first place. So we should have kept the oil. But, okay. Maybe you'll have another chance. But the fact is, should have kept the oil. I believe that this group is going to be one of the most important groups in this country toward making us safe, toward making us winners again, toward ending all of the problems. We have so many problems that are interrelated that we don't even think of, but interrelated to the kind of havoc and fear that this sick group of people has caused. So I can only say that I am with you 1,000%. And the reason you're my first stop is that, as you know, I have a running war with the media. They are among the most dishonest human beings on earth. Right? And they sort of made it sound like I had a feud with the intelligence community. And I just want to let you know, the reason you're number one stop is exactly the opposite. Exactly. And they understand that, too. And I was explaining about the numbers. We did a thing yesterday, the speech. Did everybody like the speech? You had to like it. So I've been given good news. But we had a massive field of people. You saw that. Packed. I get up this morning, I turn on one of the networks, and they show an empty field. I said, wait a minute. I made a speech. I looked out. The field was, it looked like a million and a half people. They showed a field where there were practically nobody standing there. And they said, Donald Trump did not draw well. I said, it was almost raining. The rain should have scared him away, but God looked down and he said, we're not going to let it rain on your speech. In fact, when I first started, I said, oh, no, First line, I got hit by a couple of drops. And I said, oh, this is too bad, but we'll go right through it. But the truth is that it stopped immediately. It was amazing. And then it became really sunny. Then I walked off and it poured right after I left. It poured. But, you know, we have something that's amazing because we had, it looked, honestly, it looked like 1.5 million people. Whatever it was. But it went all the way back to the Washington Monument. And I turn on the thing, and by mistake, I get this network. And it showed an empty field. And it said, we drew 250,000 people. Now, that's not bad. But it's a lie. We had 250,000 people literally around, you know, in the little bowl that we constructed. That was 250,000 people. The rest of the, you know, 20 block area all the way back to the Washington Monument was packed. So we caught them, and we caught them in a beauty. And I think they're going to pay a big price. We had another one yesterday, which was interesting. In the Oval Office, there's a beautiful statue of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I also happen to like Churchill, Winston Churchill. I think most of us like Churchill. Doesn't come from our country, but had a lot to do with it. Helped us. Real ally. And as you know, Churchill's statue was taken out, the bust. And as you also probably have read, the Prime Minister is coming over to our country very shortly, and they wanted to know whether or not I'd like it back. I'd say absolutely, but in the meantime, we have a bust of Churchill. So a reporter for Time magazine, and I have been on their cover like 14 or 15 times. I think we have the all-time record in the history of Time magazine. Like if Tom Brady's on the cover, it's one time because he won the Super Bowl or something, right? I've been on for 15 times this year. I don't think that's a record, Mike, that can never be broken. Do you agree with that? What do you think? But I will say that they said, it was very interesting, that Donald Trump took down the bust, the statue of Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was right there. But there was a cameraman that was in front of it. So Zeke from Time magazine writes a story about, I took down, I would never do that because I had great respect for Dr. Martin Luther King. But this is how dishonest the media is. Now, big story. The retraction was like where? What was it, a line, or do they even bother putting it in? So I only like to say that because I love honesty. I like honest reporting. I will tell you, final time, although I will say it when you let in your thousands of other people that have been trying to come in, because I am coming back, we may have to get you a larger room. We may have to get you a larger room. You know? And maybe it'll be built by somebody that knows how to build and we won't have columns. Do you understand that? We get rid of the columns. But no, I just wanted to really say that I love you. I respect you. There's nobody I respect more. You're going to do a fantastic job, and we're going to start winning again, and you're going to be leading the charge. So thank you all very much. Thank you, beautiful. Thank you all very much. Have a good time. I'll be back. Thank you.
www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html and you'll have access to not one, but three separate chat rooms in there. Even got a little emergency backup chat room down in there somewhere. So, at the top of the page over there on the Super Chat chat room, if you happen to go over there, there's a link to a glass studio down in Kansas City, Missouri. If you happen to need any glass made, go over and check these folks out at Monarch Glass Studio. And I mentioned on the Mad Science show yesterday about how these folks are going to help me put together one of my ideas that I'm working on for plasma technology. And so with that said, you know, I've seen the work they do. They do really nice work, and they're really good people. Pretty brilliant individuals. So if you get an opportunity to go over and check them out, do that. Help support the Chazizz Radio effort if you can. I appreciate that. Anyway, I posted some links down into the chat room down there, a couple different little podcasts that I played on here about Trump and the mainstream media and fake news and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times I get really seriously aggravated when I'm sitting there listening to somebody on the mainstream news media, and I know they're not being honest or they're being seriously biased to any subject out there. You know, I can understand people who are on different sides of the fence, and you know, they got their own different views on which way they want the country to go. But for people to be on the mainstream media and to actually be inciting riots or violence, or telling people that somebody's a racist or whatever, when you know it's not a proven fact or something like that. And so, over the years, happen to listen to all different types of elections and different things going on, stories in the country or the world for the world in general. It really gets frustrating when you listen to somebody and what they're saying on there, and you know that they're not being honest, or even being extremely biased on a particular subject. You know, there ain't really nothing you can do about it, personally. You know, it's just aggravating. Well, one of the things and reasons why I posted this deal is because it actually made me feel good to listen to the press secretary of the United States actually come out there and pretty much give the doggone mainstream media a... I don't know what the word I want to look for. Pretty much told them what was what. You know, we're going to hold your feet to the fire. Now, regardless of whatever you think about the new president, I'm telling you, me personally, I like the way that he does hold the mainstream media's feet to the fire. Of course, now, his track record is going to be written for the next 4 years of his work in the White House, and so we'll just keep an eye out, see how things go, and give him a chance to do what it is and see if he's a man of his word. If he is, then everything go fine. You know, we got a lot of issues out there in this world that we need to resolve, and it's not something that's actually going to be able to be done overnight, but at least for this point in time, things that are being said and things that are being done gives you some sort of bit of hope that whatever's going on in our country, we could actually come together and try to fix it. Still been a little bit of protesting and a little bit of riot and stuff like that, and people going out there burning down things and throwing rocks through windows. Ironically enough, there's one story out there where some liberals had got there and parked early at the protest, and it turned out some of the other protesters who were on their same side thought they were Trump supporter cars and smashed out their windows. So that's a little bit of karma, I guess. You got to take every story out there with a grain of salt. Well, I wasn't there, but if that was the case, then that's the way. It's somebody hollering about my volume. Maybe I gotta talk louder or something. Anyway, if that's the case, then, you know, like I said, instant karma. So anyway, we got a different direction that we're going in as far as the way our country is what it looks like right at the moment. Hopefully that'll be the case. And one of the things that I did hear in his speech, which was kind of concerning, was the fact that the he wants the CIA to you know, go out there and win this war on terror. Well, if it's a really a war on terror, if it's really going on, I hope they do win it. I hope they get it over with, because the citizens of the United States are war weary. You know, it's been going on for God knows how long. A lot of people losing arms and legs and, you know, having all kinds of issues just because they had to go out there and, you know, fight or whatever. Well, I'm hoping that that's going to come to an end. You know, it's it's an uphill battle. I understand that, and I understand that a lot of people out there think that there ain't nothing going to change. It'd just be business as usual, but I'm not going to live by that kind of thought. I'm going to try to live by the, you know, thought that you give somebody a chance, you know.
I want to know why it is that here in America, everything's a war on something. Like, we got the war on drugs, we got the war on poverty, you know. Why can't we have the cure for poverty, or the, you know, the cure for drug addiction? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, that would definitely be a plus. You know,
instead of a war, why aren't we calling it the search for, you know, the search for, you know, a solution, the search for a cure, the search for, you know, a remedy,
well,
the search for an end to.
I guess it probably all falls down to terminology. The better, you know, like you use certain key words in, you know, war, it sounds serious, you know, war on terror.
Yeah, but it also creates words create a mentality and a motivation. That's where the whole politically correctness nonsense started from, with the concept of phrasing things so we can generate a specific mindset and an emotional state to people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Only they started trying to use it to basically dull people down when they don't want them to get agitated over something they should be agitated over, and get people agitated way beyond the amount of agitation that they should be agitated over something else. Because they're wanting you to be agitated about what they care about, and they don't want you to be agitated about what's going to actually affect you negatively, but affects them positively, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I've been saying that all the time. People don't realize how much power they actually have, you know, the power of the spoken word. Some of the things that people listen to on the news, and that's why I feel like the mainstream media should be, you know, more held accountable, so to speak, more, their feet to the fire more than the average Joe out there because of the platform that they got. And that even goes with the alternative media as well. You know, you can't run up in a crowded theater and shout fire, but you can get on the mainstream media and shout racism and hate and discontent and all that. And so, psychologically,
then you hide behind protected speech because this is political and that other thing's not.
Yeah,
yeah, it's still causing dissension and destruction to individuals who have done no wrong.
So psychologically, you got a lot of power over somebody if they think that there's a terrorist behind every doggone bush, you know. And the war on drugs, you know, just the words alone. There's a lot of people out there that don't need somebody warring against them. They need somebody who can help them get away from these addictions and stuff. They need a reason to try to clean up their life or something. You know, you keep throwing somebody in jail over and over and over again for, you know, some drug use or whatever, they're not going to get any better in jail. As a matter of fact, if they're already depressed and have stress in their life, you know, jail's just going to make it that much worse. You can't throw somebody in a prison with a bunch of other people who are already mad or upset or sick or whatever and expect them to come out the other side, you know, being fine. It's not. And even once they do get out, the way that society is, it's not like you go do your time and you know, if you commit a crime, you go out and do your time and then it's all over. It's not. Because you end up getting out there, and because of your record that is held over your head, you may not get a decent job. You may not get a job at all.
And you can have the same thing happen because you didn't pay your electric bill, too. Now they can look at your credit record, not your criminal record. Everything's a record, but you've got all these different records that they're now using. And those people that are looking at that record have no idea the story behind that record. None.
Yeah, there's, you know, there could be extenuating circumstances to certain situations that, you know, not necessarily justify somebody's actions, but makes it understandable why they had to act the way that they did.
Hey, I can think of a big one when it comes to your financial record, your credit record. The oil companies here. We had a hard winter one year, and they went, hey, this is a good opportunity where we can claim we need to raise the prices because everybody's using more natural gas than we projected. And they started jacking the price up until it was like an $800 or $900 bill for a two-bedroom apartment for just 1 month.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And they were. It was found when they claimed, well, the reason we had to raise the price was because our supplier charged us more for the additional natural gas that we had to buy afterwards because there was a limited supply. And people were losing, you know, I mean, there was a nightmare going on, and they literally started, this guy that built billboards for a living because of something he saw happening to somebody else that that he knew, did some investigation and started a whole whole movement that was called the OMGSucks.com, right?
Yeah.
He put his own billboards and paid for, you know, hanging the signs and whatnot for all sorts of stuff all over the state. Pushed hard enough that it ended up going to the Supreme Court, and they did their digging and their investigation and went, what? Wait a minute. This company you claim was selling you this natural gas that the price that they were charging was out of your control was actually your parent company?
Man.
No, this ain't gonna fly. You have to give all those people their money back. Well, here's the thing though. Anybody who got cut off because they couldn't pay that ridiculous bill never got their money. The only people who got their money were the ones that could afford to keep paying their bill even though it was so high, and keep the bill, the gas on.
I wonder how many of them that finally did get theirs on had to actually pay deposits as well to get them restarted.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. They would have had to go back and pay whatever it was that they demanded they have to pay, and they never got the money back then. And that's still on their record that they didn't pay their bill and got cut off. Never mind why. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's one other thing that has to do with like that kind of this particular subject, like on credit. When you go to buy auto insurance, you know they check your credit now.
Not surprised.
Yeah, they actually run a credit check on you to get auto insurance, and that will determine how much your auto insurance is going to be. It's one of the determining factors. Which, if you ask me, you know, your credit shouldn't have anything to do with your driving. It's ridiculous.
Right.
But these are kind of tricks that they use to basically make more money for the system out there. You know, that's why I say the mainstream media should be held more accountable than what they are. And to hear a now sitting president basically holding their feet to the fire, and, you know, telling them, you know, if you're going to lie, we're going to hold you to it. And, you know, that's to me, seems like a good sign. Now, I don't know what kind of job he'll end up doing. I don't know whether or not he'll be a man of his word. All I know is that at this point in the game, the way that things have been spoken, you know, I know we've been lied to by politicians in the past or whatever, and I'm hoping against all hope that this will be a different episode. And I just, at this point in the game, I like the fact that he's not giving the mainstream media any leeway. He's not afraid of them. He's not like a lot of the politicians prior. You know, they'll say what needs to be said in order to be able to keep everybody happy, or try to keep the mainstream media from demonizing them or whatever. Basically, walking around on eggshells. He's not. He's not walking around on eggshells, and you know, and they're not liking it too much.
You're saying he's not going to go along to get along?
Yeah. So essentially, as long as he keeps the same pace that he's going right now, does what he says he's going to do, everything go fine, that's great. You know, in the meantime, in worst case scenario that I see so far of him holding the media to the fire, and doing what it is that he's doing, is at the very least, it shook the system up to its very core. The mainstream, you know, Congress and Senate and media and, you know, business industries, they kind of got a wake-up call this go-around. And it seems to me like, even if it's on the, even if it's only on the surface, and it was just the kind of like appease the crowd masses kind of thing, at least for the meantime, it seems to me like the American people won this battle. And it's not over, I'm sure. I'm sure there's probably still tons of conspiracies going on out there, but for this point in time, all the people can, you know, at least sit back and breathe for a minute. You know, catch their breath before going back out onto the battlefield of life. And hopefully things will get resolved. And but the biggest portion of the deal is that I'm happy for the people. I'm happy for the alternative media. I'm happy because you know, now they got a little bit of taste of what it's like to understand what we the people means, what we the people, the power of the United States Congress, or not Congress, Constitution, and what the vision was, that the power was, you know, ultimately in the people's hands, and by using their voice and their votes, and you know, doing everything through the legal system that we all put together or whatever, to you know, make a peaceful transition from one presidential administration into the next. And so at least people got a little bit of hope, and hopefully that stays that way. You know, it seemed that at times in the last 8 years, probably even longer than that, but it seems like every year it seems to escalate to the point where I feel like sometimes we're on the verge of a second civil war because of all the craziness going on. You know, it's only so far you can push people before they crack. And every year it seems like if the media, for one, is always out there telling you every single day you'll turn on the news, there's a gun shot, there's somebody shooting somebody, there's a racist cop shooting black folks, and so on down the line, you know, and all this craziness that you hear on the mainstream media all the time. I mean, it's just a constant grind, not to mention what's going on overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places in the world, Syria, you know, and it's constantly a bunch of the world's coming to an end, the you know, doomsday's right around the corner, and that's got to take a toll on people out there in this world. I mean, if it takes a toll on me personally, I'm only human, so I'm sure that there's other people out there, some probably more extreme than I am, of freaking out. You know, and if you spend all your time watching the news to see what's going on out there and listening to the mainstream media, I went down the rabbit hole a long time ago when it came to conspiracy theories and Alex Jones and all the different alternative media guys out there that were talking about corruption in government. And I'm telling you, I ended up in a dark place. Muddy had kind of touched on this subject earlier in his show, and I can relate. It got to the point where I was like thinking, you know, any day now, something could just all heck could break loose, and it really put me in a dark place. And I'm not saying that now's the time to, you know, go back to sleep and think everything's all well and everything. I mean, everything looks like it's going the way it should right now, and the power's back in the people's hands, and you know, the global elite basically got a spanking, and they're not going to be able to take over the world so soon or whatever, the New World Order agenda, whatever you want to call it. It seems like the train got slowed down, so to speak. Now, I don't want to go back to sleep and be complacent that, I get a sneak attack. You see what I mean? And so I'm hoping that this president, you know, I'm hoping that he's a man of his word and a good person, and he keeps on doing what he does. And then I'm hoping that no outside sources do what happened to Kennedy or President Lincoln or any of the past, you know, presidents that didn't fare so well, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to make out like a fear monger or anything like that. I'm just trying to put it all into perspective. You know, I understand that this country's had its problems, and there's been a lot of dirty deeds been done by a lot of dirty people, but this is all we got, folks.
And they've been done dirt cheap.
Yeah, we're in the here and we're in the now. This is all we got. And if we as the older generations aren't paying attention, being vigilant, then things could go just slip right back into what they were before and start heading down that path again. I don't ever want to see that. You know, I want to see I want to see some progress forward, and I think as long as the people stay engaged and involved in their political system and their legal system, that there's a potential that we can actually, you know, maybe one day we'll get it all figured out. You know, the Constitution may not have been perfect, but it was the best document for its time. It's the best document for this time, because it laid down some ground rules of what the government can or can't do to you. And if we're going to have a government, I want to at least have something, some sort of buffer in between me and a government. Because we've seen, you know, throughout history of time, governments don't always have your best interest. Because a lot of times there'll be people get elected in there, they'll say what they need to say to get in there, and then once they get in there, they start depleting your rights and your freedoms and stuff, and they do it all under the guise of the so-called war on drugs, the war on terror, you know. And then they even, for political reasons, turned around and said there was a war on women. There's a war on everybody, man. There's a war on Christians. There's a war on Muslims. There's a war on everything. And all this divisive language that's used in the mainstream media and even in the alternative media, that's why sometimes I know there's a lot of folks out there that get real passionate about different subjects, but sometimes they'll take that and they'll ride that train and just like, yeah, it's full force. I mean, you're heading towards a brick wall, a doomsday's right around the corner, and they'll tell people about all the terrible things going on in the world. And if you sit there and get absorbed into that, you'll find yourself sinking down in your seat like, oh my God, this is hopeless. There ain't nothing we can do about it. And it's so frustrating to me. You know, I sit here talking about peace, hope, and love, and trying to make the world a better place, one positive pebble at a time, and trying to point out reality and common sense. And I finally had to pull myself to the conclusion that there is no way on this earth that I can save this planet. I couldn't do it by myself. I'd need everybody and his brother on this planet to turn around and for some reason, find some common sense. But at the same sense, I'm not willing to lay down and give up. You know, I'm not willing to lay down and just, not point out the differences of right and wrong, the common sense of it all. Because these kind of conversations that we're having together, I don't want to allow them to get into a fear-mongering thing where everybody feels so negative by the time they've walked away. I want them to feel encouraged. I want them to feel like they got a little bit of hope. And I want them to spread that hope out there. It's like a smile on your face. You smile to somebody, it's not that big of a deal to you, but it might have been a huge deal to them because of the day they may have been having. They take that smile on down the road, and to pass it on to somebody else, it's that whole pay it forward concept. You do something for somebody, and they do something for somebody else, and it makes the world a better place one person at a time. I understand that I can't fix the world by myself. But nonetheless, after hearing what I've heard and seeing what I've seen, I'm a little stressed. I get a little concerned about the world, sometimes extremely concerned about the state of the world, state of the union, whatever. It's just that you got to find some sort of perspective in there. You got to find some sort of safe middle ground where you can stand back and catch your breath once in a while, because like I said, when I got sucked down that rabbit hole of conspiracy and everything like that, I'm not saying conspiracies aren't real, because I know they are. They're proven throughout history. I mean, whatever happened to Kennedy and whatever happened at 9/11 and all the different things that you've heard out there. But I'm not going to determine my path by somebody else's propaganda, as long as I have any kind of indication whatsoever that they have in the past shown themselves not to be truthful. And if I think that anything, I'm going to be skeptical to the extent that I'm going to actually research it before I panic. I've seen a lot of times people jump the gun on things and make it sound so much worse, and there are those lazy individuals out there that just will pass on, repeat what they hear as fact. Like everybody running around calling Trump a racist. They can't give you a reason why he's a racist other than something that they heard he said on the mainstream media. They actually heard the words. He said the words that they were quoting, but they were taken so completely out of context that it sounded like the man was a terrible guy. But being somebody who had heard the speech from start to finish and understood exactly what he was talking about, I knew he wasn't a racist. At least not on that particular point. He wasn't what they were trying to portray him as. I mean, and I don't, crazy as it may sound, I was born under the astrological sign Libra. And if you happen to look at that astrological sign, it's the scales on there. Like the scales of justice, like the actual justice deal in our court system is supposed to be. And things have to be balanced out. So if I know that one side or the other is sitting there lying or stretching the truth to skew the balance of power in their own hands, or the balance of favor, or people's opinions, I get frustrated. Because, truth is truth. Sometimes the truth stinks, but I would rather have the truth than to be lied to and manipulated into making decisions for anything. You see what I'm trying to say here, Thomas?
Yeah.
It's aggravating. And when you hear somebody on the mainstream media who, there's people out there, that a lot of people that listen to them, that are making their opinions, and they're going to go down and protest because of what was said. It's the equivalence of going into the doggone the crowded theater and shouting fire. You know, if you're sitting there telling somebody that, you know, cops are running around killing everybody and his brother, and now you got this skewed view of police officers, then you turn around and find out that the story wasn't exactly as they told it, and innocent people got hurt in the process. I'm saying, you know, I know the police departments and all the government agencies out there, they got some problems to work through, because they're not always on the up and up. That's a fact. Anybody who believes that the entirety of every single government agency or, you know, executive, legislative, or judicial branch of government has always got the best interests of the people and to uphold the Constitution, then they don't understand life. You know, somebody might be in a jam. Somebody might have done something they shouldn't have done, and they got somebody behind the scenes either blackmailing them or paying them off or whatever, for whatever reason, for own personal gain or political power. People have lied and done dirty deeds just so that they can maintain the power, stay out of jail, or, you know, live happily ever after financially wise. And so with that said, it's important that you're not lying to the doggone American people or the world with the mainstream news and stuff. Things that are going to go out to all the average Joes out there. Because sometimes, I don't like to say it, but sometimes some of the average Joes out there aren't too brilliant. You know, not everybody's well educated or well versed in political or racial or religious things. Not everybody knows, what politicians have done prior. You know, not everybody takes the time to research into things. And so if you start telling somebody that there's a racist behind every bush, it's just like the whole Second Amendment thing, man. You want to take away all the guns, but yet out of the same breath you want to tell me that there's a terrorist behind every bush. And you make me fearful that my family's in danger, and yet you tell me that we're better off just to get rid of all of our guns. Why would I get rid of my own means of self-defense if you're telling me that the Russians are coming to get me, that the terrorists are going to chop my head off because of my religious or beliefs or lack thereof or whatever? Why would I want to voluntarily give you any information about me personally or my guns? You see what I mean? It's a hypocritical situation going on.
Yeah.
The politicians, they got armed bodyguards. The President of the United States has the Central Intelligence Agency and the Secret Service and the FBI and the police. The average Joe has got their family and whatever means of self-defense they got. That's all they got. And if you live out in a rural area like I do, it could be 45 minutes to an hour to possibly never before the law enforcement show up to defend you if, something bad happened. You know, could be they're so doggone busy with things going on the other side of town, they can't even get to you by that time. How long does it take a home invader to kill you or hurt your family, take your property? So, I need to be able to protect myself, right? So, when they talk about all that kind of stuff on there and they try to advocate for gun laws and stuff, it's ridiculous, because everybody knows that the bad guy is not going to obey the law. By definition, he wouldn't be a bad guy if he was obeying the law, right? Yeah, it's illegal to have guns. So, okay, all the honest people, let's go turn in our guns. You think the bad guy's going to turn in his? No, he's going to be happy as, yeah, as all get out, because now chances of him getting shot by a homeowner for invasion is less. Those all common sense things. I know they sound like Republican talking points or conservative talking points or whatever. But that United States Constitution that sets up there that put in play the Second Amendment wasn't just for, you know, protection against your, you know, home invaders. It was also protection against the government going awry. And, you know, it needs to be held. Until we get to a point in humanity where the world in general can understand that, hey, we all got our differences and some of us don't look exactly alike and, you know, but we can live happily ever after and peacefully and, you know, hold those who hurt each other accountable for their actions and such. We're not in that perfect world yet. And that's unfortunate because I see that we could be so much further along right now if people could just understand those differences and let life be life, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I played those three podcasts because it's important that people see what's going on out there. They're trying like heck to make Trump sound like a racist. They basically, one of the reporters tweeted a deal out and said that Trump had took out the little statue of Martin Luther King, you know. And it turned out to be, it turned out they had to go in there, physically take a picture of it, send it back out and say, huh, what do you mean we took it out or whatever, you know. For somebody to do that, during time right now where everybody's already under tension and everybody else is trying to say he's a racist and all this, and trying to incite more violence and more riots. Let me take you back in history. There was a point in time, I don't remember exactly what year it was, but there was some riots down in Kansas City, Missouri. And things got really bad down in Kansas City. Buildings got tore down, people got hurt, kids were afraid to go to school for fear that they'd get beat up by the other race or whatever. And there was some really serious racial tensions. I know one school in particular where, and if you didn't get shot at that school, it was a miracle. If you was the wrong color at the wrong school at the wrong time, you were in serious danger. And even long after those riots were over, that racial tension still rode. And I seen it all. But the biggest point of that deal is there are areas down there in the city that never came back. There were businesses closed down that never came back. It killed off a lot of job opportunities for people. And a lot of what used to be really beautiful neighborhoods turned out to be pretty much like slums. And all the people that lived in those neighborhoods started falling deeper into the cracks of society, trying to keep jobs going, trying to feed their families, and the neighborhoods deteriorated, the neighbors didn't talk as much, and theft and burglaries went up, and crime rose up, and they just became neighborhoods that you wouldn't want to live in, you wouldn't want to go there. So any of the people who had lived there prior finally worked their way out of the neighborhood and went on down to find safer places to live, and the neighborhoods continued to deteriorate. And it was a shame because that pit neighbor against neighbor, and you had to start locking up everything because in the middle of the night you had your car out there. Somebody be stealing your stuff out of your car, or they maybe actually stealing the car itself, or if you were in the neighborhood and you was the wrong color in the wrong spot or part of town, you'd get beat up, maybe even killed. It turned what used to be a wonderful neighborhood into a dangerous place that you wouldn't want to walk down in the middle of the night. And it wasn't just any specific race. There was many different races involved in the deal. You know, there were like little white pockets. There were like little Mexican pockets and little African-American pockets, or whatever you want to call them. Americans pitted against Americans because of the color of their skin. And this is just one little area that I could view myself. I knew which areas not to go down in there. I was fearful that whenever I drove through there that I would have a mechanical problem in my car and be broke down in the middle of that town. And even to this very day, I know there's certain areas down there where you don't want to be down there in the middle of the night. You don't want to break down because people are either lazy or they're desperate. And whatever you got that's better than them that they can sell to either get some drugs or whatever, and they'll take. And even if it means hurting you or your family to do it, they'll do it. And this all, you could follow the dominoes all the way back to those riots. Whatever actually sparked off those riots to get the racial tension going, it caused catastrophic effects for years to come, all the way up into the present day. Here's the year 2017. And if you come to visit Kansas City, Missouri, I can tell you exactly where not to go in the middle of the night. Because it's not like it used to be where you could just walk freely down the neighborhood and nobody would bother you. You know, you might have your occasional bully or something that you had to be concerned of, but you didn't have to have, you know, the worries that you have today where, you know, the violence is, because you don't even have to say nothing. You just look at somebody. You know, they're... I don't know if you've ever had this feeling, Thomas, but if you've ever walked in certain neighborhoods or certain parts of the community, even into stores where you walk across a certain group and you feel apprehensive about even making eye contact with somebody. Just look straight ahead and mind your own affairs because you don't want to offend or make anybody mad.
Don't start none, there won't be none.
Yeah! And so, in order to not start none, I even mentioned about, like, going to the store, you know, and keeping my hands in complete plain sight all the time. And I hate going to stores. Any like Walmart, Kmart, or any of the major businesses, or convenience stores like gas stations and stuff like that. I hate going to stores because when you go in there, you're already under surveillance before you get in the building. Then you're under surveillance while you're in the building. And so when you're walking through the building, you don't want nobody to perceive you as a shoplifter, you know? And so you keep your hands where the cameras can see them. And I even deliberately, whenever I'm going to pull my cell phone out of my pocket or my keys or get anywhere near my pockets, I'll make sure I face myself to the camera so I got a video record of what just occurred so that if I'm getting accused of something, I can back it up with their own film. And I'm cautiously making sure that, you know, I'm not putting myself in a bad position because I expect that at any given moment somebody will come running in with a gun or want to, you know, be offended by something that I said or did or whatever. That's the kind of world that a lot of people feel that they live in. Maybe that's not the actual case. I have been in neighborhoods where, you know, I'm maybe the only white person in the whole neighborhood. I'm in there during the daytime, and everybody seems polite. They say, hi, how you doing? Have a good day, and all that, and things seem to be all fine. But in the back of my mind, because of the riots that I had saw through history, and because of what the mainstream media had said, and, you know, word of mouth, gossip, whatever you want to call it, I had that in the back of my mind that I always have to be on the alert because I never know. I've watched really good neighborhoods deteriorate over the time that it took me to get to where I'm at now. Really beautiful neighborhoods. And I knew a lot of these people in these neighborhoods, and I knew they weren't racist from all sides of the fence. But by God, if you was to listen to the mainstream media through all those tire years, you would have believed that we were living in a complete and utter war zone before we ever even got to that point. And now that we are close to that point, if not right there standing in the midst of it, if people are so fearful of each other and fearful of life and the world and in general, now you got to be careful where you go. And so people are like that, they're thinking that Americans got it made in the shade, and, we're all spoiled and everything like that. Well, there are some out there to take advantage of the system and the situation and too lazy to do for themselves what they could, do. But for the most part, it's most just average people just trying to get along, man. Just trying to make it through life. And there are a lot of people out there, most of these people out there would help you out if you were in need. Now this is what I saw society heading towards. This is what brought me to the concern between the mainstream media and what I've seen in my physical life, wandering around through, town or doing whatever, seeing how different things were changing and how people were acting and the respect or lack thereof of the youth of today. Things aren't like they used to be. I'm only 51 years old, and I can remember a time back when the old folks were telling me that, you need to turn that music down a little bit, or whatever. I may have been, I was born in the 60s and raised in the 70s and 80s, and I may have been a little rowdy when I was younger, probably rowdier than their generation, so every year it kind of seems like it, goes just further down the road. It's kind of like the old rock stars that, from Elvis all the way up to Ozzy, Yeah, everybody started trying to get harder music, louder music, see how far you can push the limits until up to the modern day now where you got bands like Disturbed and Puddle of Mud and whatever, and now you got shock jocks who come out there and try to say just about anything, just shock the, people want to tune in to hear what the next radical thing is going to be said.
What about Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson?
Yeah. That's, you understand what I'm saying, man. And at some point in time, the wind is too far, too far. See what I mean? How far can we go as society? I know live and let live and to each his own. Everybody, as long as you ain't hurting nobody, do your own thing, Get all the doggone piercings you want. It don't matter if you look like you fell face first into a fishing tackle box, and you're tattooed from toe to head, whatever. If that's your life, that's your life, man. Do your thing. If it feels good, do it. But how far? Seriously, how far can you go? There are individuals out there who feel like it's a cool thing or some sort of enlightening thing to literally take fish hooks, stick them through their skin, and be hung up from the ceiling by this. I don't understand that. Supposedly it releases endorphins and, sends you on some sort of enlightening trip to hang yourself up by fish hooks, meat hooks, or whatever, to cause yourself pain or cut yourself with razor blades or whatever. I don't understand self-mutilation like that. I got a couple tattoos, it's about as far as I took it. But I ain't plunging my face into a tackle box. I just ain't gonna do it. It's not for me. If that's your bag, go ahead, I hope you don't get an infection. I hope you're cautious and don't put an eye out, whatever. But you gotta remember, if you're plunging your face into a tackle box to become extreme, and you're raising children, and they watch you doing all the things that you do, your children are going to trump you. They're gonna outdo you. They're going to top what you touch. If it's good for Dad, it's good for me. That goes with smoking, drinking, cussing, drugs, or whatever. Whatever kind of lifestyle you lead and show your children how to become, that's what they're going to be. Unless for some strange reason they have some sort of enlightening point in their life that they say, well, you know, my dad's a jerk and he's got fishing tackle stuck to his face. I ain't going to do that. I ain't looking like that. You know, if you want to hang yourself up from meat hooks and think that you're going to find God or whatever, you know, if that's your journey, so be it. I'll hope you're the best. I just...
a lot of time talking about that.
Yeah. Because that's where society's gone, man.
I don't know about that, man. I think you're falling into another mainstream media trap because...
I've seen it, man.
People that do that, I'm sure the percentage of people that do that has fluctuated from before you became aware of it, but it hasn't gone up or down anywhere near as much as they've made it look like it has to you.
Maybe, but I've seen it in my personal life. I know people personally who want to do that.
How many people you know?
I know at least one.
No, how many people do you know?
I know a lot of people.
Exactly.
Some are into drugs.
It's been great to you and given you this access to meet many, many people across the whole spectrum of livelihoods and types.
I'm not saying the whole world is like that. These are just small examples of an overall deal. There's so many different subjects, so many different...
You're getting so upset about it, man.
Yeah, I'm not upset, Thomas.
You sound like it.
I'm concerned of the path.
That's a form of upset. That's a politically correct term for being upset.
Well, maybe in some sense, I guess I am upset. But I'm concerned about the direction that people are going in this world. Because, if you don't have no respect for yourself, it's like the whole cursing issue. You know, some people are like, oh, no, cursing's all right. It's good. You know, no biggie. Hey, no, don't worry about it. You know, it's freedom of speech, freedom of this or whatever. But, you know, if you're not even remotely concerned about the way that you act, then you got to expect that other people out there are not going to act in any specific manner that... something that might defend you or whatever, or might offend somebody else. You kind of lead by example. No matter how you do or what you believe, if you're foul mouthed, Ethan, you run around foul mouthed, and then everybody around you knows that it's cool to foul mouth around you. You don't set no precedent such as being respectful to people. And so you'll say and do whatever just comes to mind. Some of the crudest, rudest things. And there was a time, in my life at least, where some of these things weren't like publicly or whatever acceptable. You didn't cuss in front of kids. That wasn't cool, you know. Nowadays, no big deal. Little kids are cussing in front of adults. And so, it's no big deal. But if you start going down that slippery slope where every single thing under the sun is acceptable, and everyone out there is trying to make themselves so individual in society that, you know, it's just do whatever you do. Dress up like a clown, tattoo your face, or put fishing tackle all over your body, or whatever. I'm an individual, and I'm going to prove it by modifying my body and making myself look like a lizard and grinding my teeth down, make myself look like a vampire and all that. You know, to some folks, that's cool. Hey, that's a form of expression. But you can't be surprised when the next guy in line comes down there and does something just totally off the wall, because he's got his freedom of expression as well. And if society goes down that road and everybody looks like some sort of freak of nature, you know, hey, that's what it is. I'm saying like...
It'd make it a little easier for us to actually see a completely alien life form as an actual sentient living entity that has rights and thoughts and feelings, you know? Instead of being able to so easily demonize it that we end up doing exactly to them, or try to do to them, what you know, was done to the Native Americans with the buffalo and indigenous people of Australia.
It's not my intention to demonize these folks,
Nazi
Thomas.
Germany,
it's not me. It's not my intention to demonize these folks. But if you're going to be honest with yourself, you got to admit, from Elvis all the way up to modern day music, there is a drastic change in music. And some of what they classify as music these days is nauseating. To some people, it's great. I remember one time, because I've been a musician for years, I've played music with a whole lot of different musicians, and some of which have actually went along to produce some really good bands. And one day I had a young kid want to jam with me. He wanted to play the guitar, you know, and he wanted to play this new song that he was playing. And there's a brand of music out there they call like screamo or something like that. I don't know. It's just when this kid started banging on the guitar and wailing off into all kinds of direction, there was absolutely no structure to his music or the voice that he was squalling out, and sounded like something out of the movie The Exorcist. And man, I was like, okay, that's some hard rock. That's about as hard as it gets. But I understand times are changing. And I understand there's a lot of things that were like taboo back in the day that are just fine now. You know, hey, we're getting along with the times. We're becoming enlightened. And how far?
Well, you know, there's actually a progression, like a pendulum, where things swing back and forth. I mean, look at the fact that the whole steampunk thing. The reason that that's actually there is the very same reason that things like swing music and whatnot's coming back. People,
yeah,
you know, wearing button-down three-piece suits. I mean, you know, the pendulum swings constantly. The same thing with, you know, presidents and the way the economy is and the country and everything else. It's always a swinging motion, so moves from one direction to the other.
Well, sometimes I wish there was like a chicken exit to where you could actually get off of this crazy roller coaster we call life, because, you know, I'm seeing things now. You know, back when I was a kid, we had cap guns and we played Army Man and Cowboy and Indian and all that kind of stuff. Some of that would be classified.
That's racist.
Huh?
I said that's racist.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Some of that today would be classified as being racist or violent or whatever.
Well, how about the fact that they're not Indians, because it's been a misnomer all this time, because dude thought he had made it to India under China, when actually he had run into this body that he didn't even know was here. So there's a whole different group of people now that he's now just mistaken the people that he's talking to for being somebody else, and they don't look anything at all alike, so that obviously he grouped everybody together, you know?
Well, basically what I'm going to try to say here, and I don't know how it's going to come out, is that when I was a kid, we watched a lot of shows out there that may have been borderline racist or not, I don't know. Whatever. Cowboy and Indian shows like The Lone Ranger and Tonto and the old West movies that Grandpa and Grandma used to watch and stuff like that, and, you know, even war movies and stuff where the army man goes out there and he's fighting against the evil Russians or communists or whatever, you know, all the different things that I was raised up now are so much further escalated to where now it's actually in cartoons and video games. You know, it's if you watch today's content opposed to yesterday's content, I know you can find flaws in both systems, but nowadays you got video games that are so realistic that they got first-person shooters in there where you're actually blowing up people and seeing blood and everything splatter everywhere. You got mainstream media out there telling you that there's a terrorist behind every doggone bush. And so, you know, people who want to defend themselves, they go out and buy guns, 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 and more guns. Some people just go out and buy guns just for, you know, sport shooting. But it gets to the point where everybody and his brother's armed to the teeth, everybody and his brother stressed out over racial tensions or political tensions or whatever political view they landed on or whatever, and you're sitting literally on a ticking time bomb. You never know when somebody's going to snap. You know, a while back there was this deal about bathrooms, whether you had to have a unisex bathroom or you know, a man's bathroom, a woman's bathroom, and an in-between bathroom, or whether or not a transgender, transsexual, or whatever could use the woman's bathroom because he classified himself or herself as a man or a woman. You know, but you take somebody from my generation, and I see some man dressed like a woman going in where my daughter's at, my teenage daughter or younger, whatever, I'm going to go off the handle. I'm going to get riled up because I was raised in a situation where that doesn't happen. You know, this is not acceptable. Women have their own privacy. Men have their own privacy.
Hey,
and
you mean you were raised in a situation where if it happened, you were not aware that it was going on?
Look.
We're getting upset about this, acting like it's a new thing.
If a man snuck in there,
and be made aware that they're doing it, you know what I mean? They were doing it before, dude. They were doing it before.
Maybe. But if a man snuck in there...
They were, man.
Regardless. If a man snuck in there, that was one thing. But to make it okay, acceptable in public means that times have changed to a certain extent to where now things that weren't normally acceptable are now accepted. You understand what I'm trying to say, the difference here?
I think you're missing the point, though, man. When you say, when you make a law on something, you regulate it. You see what I mean? That means basically you're going to be asking your daughter, because you know somebody just went in there, if she's okay. And you're going to make sure that she understands that she is perfectly okay to tell you the truth. So if they pull some BS, boom, then you've got legitimate reason to go in there and yank that person out by their neck and drag them off to the police and have them locked up.
Well, personally,
like that, or pull them out of society so they can't ever do it again.
Personally, like I said,
dude,
we're talking.
John Wayne Gacy got away with all the stuff he did because nobody knew what he was doing.
I understand.
Nobody even knew to look.
I understand what you're saying, but I'm telling you, it's the same thing. It is no difference than when my father-in-law, who was raised in a certain area, he don't like people with long hair. And because he was raised to believe that people with long hair were like hippies and into dope and all this kind of stuff. Ironically enough, when I met him, I had long hair. And I proved different how my life was to him over the time and earned his respect. And at some point, I actually cut my hair short again. But nonetheless, you're talking about a difference between the way one generation thinks as opposed to the next generation up, and then so on down the line. So as time has progressed, things have gotten to be so acceptable that they weren't acceptable before or were even known as taboo. Now, I'm not trying to justify either side of the fence other than to say that if the mainstream media has guided this particular episode all the way down to where it is today, to where if you're coming from my generation, society has deteriorated. If you're coming from my son's generation, it's all the norm. You see what I'm saying? But you can't ever expect me to agree to all this stuff, such as a man dressed like a woman going into the bathroom with my 14-year-old girl. I can't accept that.
I'm not understanding why you're okay with your 14-year-old girl going into a bathroom where you don't know who's in there or what's going on in there, period.
Well, if her mama's with her, mama goes in there. If nothing...
Okay, well, there you go, man.
If I'm there by myself with my daughter, then I'm standing outside the door listening for the first scream, and come hell or high water, if my daughter screams for help, I'm coming to get her.
Right.
And so...
Now you're a man in a woman's bathroom, though.
Hey, if there's somebody in there harming my daughter, there's a must. I'm not going to stand
for you, but not someone else.
Huh? You're twisting my words around, trying to make me sound bad, and that's not what I'm saying.
Everybody's got what they consider to be okay, and by God, anybody who challenges it is suddenly in the wrong. But if they don't find something okay, it's okay for them to challenge them.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying at all. I'm saying that because of the things that I've been taught and the society that I've been raised in.
Standing there at the door so they can go in if something's wrong. And a male officer at the men's restroom, if something goes wrong, at every single public restroom.
Well, maybe that's exactly what they're going to end up needing before that. You know, all I'm saying is because of what I've been told throughout my entire life, my daughter didn't go nowhere by herself without somebody, with a buddy. We went by the buddy system. If my daughter went somewhere...
That's real smart.
Well, that's the way we did it.
That, man. Stick together, man. You'll survive a whole lot longer, man.
But don't you think it's even remotely a shame that we got to be in fear like that?
Dude, we were in fear like that before, though. You're making it sound like this issue has created something new that wasn't there before.
I'll tell you something. When I was about 10 years old, I wandered the streets of Kansas City, and I never had one single problem that I couldn't handle back in them days.
You're pointing out exactly what I was saying about what we need to do with the mainstream media. Sure, you can report whenever something bad happens, but you have to... give statistics on this stuff so we know how likely it is that something like this could happen. Don't make it sound like it's around every corner.
Well, I'm just telling you from my own personal deal.
That they end up basically going ballistic and starting something where there was nothing.
By the time I was 15 or 16, it was a lot more dangerous to go into the same neighborhoods that I went in prior. By the time I was 19 or 20...
Going completely to crap.
Huh? You know?
People are getting more and more desperate.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say, Thomas.
That has nothing to do with the other, though.
It has everything to do with what's going on with
the economy has nothing to do with transgender bathroom discussion. You're actually creating a problem by mixing two separate issues and discussing them separately.
You're completely missing my issue. I am talking about the progression. From the time the media back in the day used to be held accountable for saying so much as just a mild, what would be classified as a mild curse word, all the way up to, you know, the B word that they use frequently nowadays. All right? And all the different stories that have been told, everything in the entire conversation has come across to the mainstream media as arguments of who's to, or who's for, and who's against any of these particular subjects. And so, as I'm raising my children, I'm trying to steer my children away from situations that would arise because of each one of these things that I heard on the mainstream media. Now, had they never even portrayed it the way that they said, You know, now it's like, oh, do you want a man coming in the bathroom with your woman and making y'all nervous? And heck, no, I don't want it. I would have never walked in on a woman in the bathroom when I was a kid. You know? And if you did accidentally, it was embarrassing as all get out because you were raised in a different fashion to where that wasn't something you did.
Right.
Well,
that's why I don't like using public restrooms, period, man.
Well, I'm not trying to knock anybody for any of the reasons why they do what they do. I'm just trying to point out.
For any discussion before about, you know, what gender was in there, I didn't like being in there with other men in there either.
Well,
I didn't trust none of them, man.
I didn't even like, to this very day, I don't like, you know, going to the bathroom in public with other men either. Because there's other issues that come along with that. But it's just like me standing in the store with my hands in view of the camera all the time because of all of the stuff that I've heard and, you know, the demonization of everything under the doggone sun. You don't do this, you don't do that. And it's just like, you don't want to be perceived as a thief, so you keep your hands in plain sight, right? And I want my own privacy, so if I go to the restroom, I might go all the way down to a stall and shut the door behind me, or I might not go in there at all. And it's just...
Wait and go home.
Yeah, well, that's what
I'm
saying.
And that means stop shopping and not buy whatever it was that you might have been enticed to buy, because they didn't provide the individual bathrooms for each person, and because of how the media has basically screwed everything up, so they have to do that.
Well, that's the key, man, and everything is all politically correct. You can't talk about certain subjects, because if you talk about certain subjects, then, you know, you're a xenophobe, a homophobe, a racist, whatever, all the ist and the isms and all that kind of stuff, and I'm so, like, just tired of all of it. You know, and the mainstream media has a whole lot of responsibility for the state of the world as it is right now. I know that throughout entire history, there's been things going on, and the internet has like brought it out there where it's right in your face, and you can find the news if you want to find the news on any subject out there under the sun. But nonetheless, even in the alternative media, you still have responsibility to put a fair and balanced message out there if it's going to be trying to get to the truth. Now, if you're just out there for humor and throwing whatever you want, there's probably even responsibility going like that. There's certain things that just ain't funny, you shouldn't be joking about. But when people begin to laugh about things that are normally considered to be vulgar or rude, then you got to ask what the question. Yeah, you have to ask the question, what in the heck has happened to society that we now have to even hear this kind of crud? Tell me, man. I tell you, look, go back and look at your people who are in their 70s and 80s and listen to them talk, and then the next generation after that, and then your generation all the way up to the children, teenagers of the modern day, and you're going to see a gender gap, a total different view on life, everything from God to no God or whatever. It's all there. And if we're going to move on into the future and try to make things better, I understand you got to be acceptable of somebody's differences. But how far is too far? Seriously. I personally don't understand.
Dude, I think there's a real simple yardstick you can apply to this. Your liberties extend all the way up to where my liberties start. They do not infringe or step over my liberties, just like my liberties don't get to step over your liberties, your freedom.
And I can agree on that. I can agree on that. But, you know, common sense got to be in there somewhere as well.
No, liberty is liberty. You can't use any kind of special buzzword to disqualify somebody else's liberty.
Then by your definition, we got to go to total anarchy, because there's no way that we should even have a government.
You just strawman me, man. Anarchy is the complete opposite of liberty, man. Anarchy is complete chaos. liberty and people respecting each other's liberties is a civilized society. You just said that to have a civilized society, we have to be completely uncivilized.
No, we have to have no government, because if everybody's got true freedom of liberty, it's do what you want as long as you don't hurt nobody.
No, we have to have a government that is ruled by the people, that is accountable to the people, and that the people have control over.
Okay, in that process of...
And that requires that the people actually exercise their control, or it will be taken from them.
In that process of belief that if everybody's the people are in charge, then, you know, like say my liberty is I have certain religious beliefs that I don't think that certain things should occur, you know, in my presence or my public or my daughter or my son or whatever. And so if somebody else's liberties walk right over to the top of mine, then that should have some sort of remedy, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying, though, man. You have to exercise your involvement in government in order to make sure that it's done right. The people who exercise it are going to be the ones that end up running the government. And if you have one group of people with one mindset that are doing this, then the people who are being lazy about it and choosing not to get involved are going to have their liberties stepped all over by those people.
Well, that's
because people are greedy. People are greedy. They're going to take liberty from you to have more liberty for themselves.
That's why I'm excited about our now sitting president actually holding the media's feet to the fire, because the media is sitting there telling everybody and his brother, because I'm a conservative Christian, that I'm a racist, a xenophobe, a homophobe, and all that kind of stuff.
Well, I think everybody's concerned about I think the concern basically is that people are used to having things oversteered one direction, and they're actually terrified it's going to get oversteered the other direction. They're not improperly terrified about just, you know, steering back to the middle of the road. Because this is what I've been saying, man. If you overcompensate because you have had something done wrong to you, that's like driving down the road and starting to slide to the left of the road because there's ice on the road, and you oversteer and you end up sliding too far to the right now instead of the left, and you end up in a ditch.
Well,
you're in a wreck now.
My way of looking at things is like this, man. The scales of justice,
road,
the scales of justice that I was talking about earlier. You know, if I see somebody that's got fishing tackle all up in their face and stuff like that, you know, I'm not going to, because of my views, go over and beat the heck out of them or tell them that they, you know, don't have the right to have the fishing tackle stuck in their face. I'm just not going to, like, hang around. I'm not going to violate their rights or step in their path or anything like that. But if the guy comes over and tries to put fishing tackle in... Hold on, let me finish what I'm saying.
Hold on, let me ask you something. What if they're in a wreck and they're sitting on the side of the road holding their hands in their head and they're, you know, bleeding pissed because somebody ran a red light and T-boned their car?
Then I'm going to help them out. Then I'm going to help them out.
Okay.
I'm not going to not help them out because of the color of their skin or because it's a man dressed like a woman or because he's got fishing tackle in his face. I'm going to help them out. I'm going to do the right thing. But what I'm saying is I don't have to put that lifestyle in my lifestyle unless it's a necessity such as trying to save somebody's life. I'm not going to go over and harm these people or make their life miserable, because that's their own path they chose. It's not mine to choose. But if I'm raising my daughter and I'm in the part where I'm protecting my daughter and trying to steer her to where I believe that her best chance at life is going to be, and these two situations collide, and I think that there's any chance that my daughter could be steered in that direction or harmed by this person, I'm going to act accordingly. And that's the way everything balances out. I'm not saying because I don't like the way that somebody dresses or the way they act or something like that that I'm going to harm them or try to infringe on their rights. I'm not. I'm going to attempt to make not put myself in that position to even have to. But if I do see somebody in need, I'm not going to not help them out. Just like I would hope that that same person with the fishing tackle on their face would pull me out of a ditch if necessary. I go by the whole deal about doing unto others as you have them do unto you. But until my daughter gets to the age where she can make her own decision on things, I'm going to try to tell her, look, you know, the mainstream media says this right here, and you do have to be careful when you're going to certain places. Call me when you get to the other side, use the buddy system and all that kind of stuff, and just let me know you're safe and I got your back and we'll take care of things and get things done. You know, my concern doesn't come from the guy with the fishing tackle in his face per se. It comes with the fact that this person actually took the time to do this to himself, or talking about hanging themselves up by meat hooks. I mean, in my brain, from the time that I was raised, these things aren't something that these are things you saw in horror movies, sci-fi flicks, or whatever.
And they got all this from native cultures that we all emerged from.
Wherever they got it,
Every single thing out there has come. Everybody that's out there has come from a native culture of one sort or another.
Wherever it came from, it just wasn't part of my upbringing. And that's what I'm trying to point out, is that there are differences from every generation. There are differences from every culture. And did you say culture shock?
Yep.
Well, there you go.
And you're just pointing out one particular instance that you're having culture shock from.
Yeah, and there's multiple instances that I could say, but what I'm trying to say is that the people out there giving us the information about certain things in life, whether it be the radical Islamic terrorist as opposed to the peaceful Muslims, all right? Now, if you were a person listening to that, and you saw this show where this Muslim is cutting off people's heads, you automatically point out, like, "Well, yeah, wait a second, these Muslims are terrible." Well, I've met some Muslims in my life; they didn't seem so bad. All right, they weren't trying to chop off my head. So I can balance that out, and I can understand that there are some who take things to extremes, and they're going to do terrible things to people, and those are the folks that need to be held accountable, whereas these over here need to be protected. You see what I'm saying? During the World War II, when they rounded up the Japanese, I'd have been one of the ones saying, "Oh, no, you don't. These are Americans you're rounding up." I would have been on their side. Because just because their ethnic origin doesn't mean that they were the ones going to come over and be sympathizers for the Japanese. You could say the same thing for in the Civil War for the Confederate as opposed to the Union troops. There were sympathizers on both sides. Some folks didn't even want no part of the doggone war. Now, my scales of justice in there, you know. During the slave trade, I'd have been the one part of the Underground Railroad, because this is where my heart is. This is where my family had raised me to this point. This is what I believe in. But you still can't allow the people from the mainstream media or the alternative media to have a free pass to just say that every Christian's bad, every Muslim's bad, every white person's a racist, every black person's a racist, all the way down the line. You just can't paint with that wide brush and destroy an entire culture, an entire belief system or whatever, just because you disagree with points in history that were either true or not true or taken out of context or whatever. And if the mainstream media can get on there and flat out tell a bold-faced lie to all the people of the world and then expect that everything's going to go all hunky-dory that day, and then when it backfires on them, they actually have to reap the benefits of what they just did. You know, there's a saying out there, you reap what you sow. And so if they're sowing hate and discontent, and that hate and discontent lands on their face, then suddenly it's all boo-hoo, me, I got beat up by a racist or whatever. I'm glad to hear that there's a sitting president who's going to be bold enough to call these folks a liar when they're lying. When it's proven that they're flat out lying. And so now the average Joe watching this, if they got any kind of brains or common sense whatsoever, they're going to be not totally distrusting, but at least skeptical enough to the point where they're going to actually pay attention to whether the truth coming out of their mouth or lies. And if they continue to lie, then they will eventually walk away from them, and there won't be no more CNN or ABC or MSNBC or any of these channels out there lying to people. And that includes Fox as well, because Fox is just as guilty as all the rest of them. I watch Fox News because it's like it seems to me like the lesser of two lies. But I don't believe everything that they say verbatim. I go out and research it. I listen to what everybody else is saying. I listen to what both sides of the fence are saying. I'm not here to tell you that there's anybody out there better or worse than anybody else. I'm just pointing out the fact, the way how society has changed, and a lot of that has to do with the media and the entertainment industry, and the way that people are basically educated or propagandized. You see where I'm coming from? In my ancestral history, I got French, Canadian, Cherokee, and who knows what else in my blood. So I can't even call myself a true white man, or, you know, I'm sort of like a mutt. I can look back in history and I can see all the terrible deeds done to all these different cultures on both sides of the fence. And I don't agree with what people have done to each other over these years. I don't agree with war. A lot of innocent individuals have been harmed and killed during a lot of unnecessary wars. So even when I hear the now sitting president talking about how we got to go out there and win this war, I'm a little bit concerned that, you know, things going to happen. Take things to extreme. I don't think that you should be going to war. I don't think that any nation should war against another nation unless it's in defense alone. Which is such as they actually physically come to your border and attack you. You see what I mean? You still there, Thomas? No, it looks like I lost Thomas. Anyway.
I had to step out and take care of something. So I just got back.
Well, my point...
How many times did you throw me under the bus while I was out of the room?
I didn't throw you under the bus at all. I asked you... just an honest question.
Which
I can't remember now.
Must have been a lie.
No, it wasn't a lie.
Hey, that's what my grandmother used to say. You forgot what you were saying, and it must have been a lie.
Well, then everything under the sun, I must be a lie, because I've been like sitting here talking about every possible subject. It's hard to cram a lot of information into a short period of time, even 3 hours, as long as that may sound, that's really not that much time to lay it all out of your views of what society and life in general is all about. My whole vision of the world is peace, hope, and love for everybody, you know? And I don't discriminate against people to... the extent that I'm not going to go out and try to hurt somebody because I don't like the way they look, or, you know, the color of their skin or anything like that. You know, there's a deal Martin Luther King talked about, judging somebody by their character and their actions, and that's what I believe in. You know, if they're a jerk, they're a jerk. And if they're doing something just totally bizarre in my mindset, there's no way I can get behind that. You know, but I'm still on the scales of justice. You know, I see somebody. It's as crazy as it sounds. I watch a video, and there's a bad guy in the video. And the bad guy, he's running around. He's doing terrible things throughout the whole deal. And even after the whole doggone thing's all said and done, after they finally catch up to the bad guy, I'm glad he got justice. But what I'm not glad about is how that justice is put out there in the end, because I still feel bad for the person, even the bad guy. You know, there's got to be a reason why that bad guy ended up being a bad guy in his life, unless he was just born the seed of Satan or whatever, I don't know. But even when somebody's done some wrong, there still be some, should be some mercy in there somewhere. And I just can't see harming anybody for any reason. You know, granted, you got to pay for your crimes if you go out and hurt somebody. But there's got to be some sort of balance in there. And even in the justice, especially in the justice, there has to be some sort of balance. When mainstream media is out there talking and it's not balanced and it's not justice, it's just a one-way biased propaganda that's going out starting feuds because you get other people who haven't took the time to contemplate all the words that were said and check the facts and verify the information. Before they actually got upset about it, they just went out and started to riot, or they're spewing out talking points from either side of the fence. That's not justice. You see what I'm saying? Thomas.
No. Stop calling on me. I didn't have my hand up.
It's one heck of a mess. And sometimes this is one of the reasons I get discouraged, because it's like I'm sitting here trying to talk about bringing everybody together to try to, you know, make this world a better place. But how can you do that with so many different divisive talking points? You can't even use the right doggone words. You gotta tiptoe around your words, because your words are so doggone powerful that they get people irate. Next thing you know, somebody wants to fight with you, or argue with you, or dispute your views, or sit there and try to tell you or rewrite history, or tell you that what you believe in is totally wrong, and ain't nothing about it. You know, if I can't voice my views that, you know, hey, from where I come from, we don't shove our face in the tackle box. To each his own. If that's what makes you happy, makes you feel good, but it looks like it hurt like heck to me. You know, I got to be politically correct and acceptable of everything out there if I'm to be what the mainstream media expects me. And if I'm to say that we need to go over to fight with another country and now become a warmonger. I don't want us over there fighting with another country. I don't want us fighting with each other. When you watch the doggone news,
say, if you're saying we need to go to war with another country, you're going completely against what you said, the policies of the person you said you supported this election season, because he said we need to get out of all that, stop getting involved in other people's business.
That's right, he did say that.
Which, that's what the Founding Fathers said a long time ago, was to not get ourselves tangled in foreign affairs.
Well, and that's another reason why I agree with him. Look, I don't believe any man is perfect. You know, my good book says for all men have fallen short of the glory of God. You know, and so with that said, I'm not perfect. Nobody out there is perfect. But somehow or another, while we got to live here together, we got to find some sort of common ground. Some sort of, you know, if you need a third or a fourth or a fifth or sixth or seventh or eighth or tenth or even 50 separate bathrooms, they'll let everybody go where they feel like it's at, you know. But don't violate the sanctity.
Now that you've made it so that everybody's got to have their own bathroom, whose responsibility is it to pay for that bathroom?
Well,
each of those bathrooms.
I would say if they lobby for it, they find the funds for it. Do a GoFundMe account. We're going to help Walmart get bathrooms for our personal...
Yeah, and now you see why the economy is all screwed up.
Like, I didn't say I had all the answers in the world, Thomas. I'm just saying, from where I'm standing watching the thing fall apart, there's got to be some common sense in there somewhere.
Well, the truth is, man, I'm just quoting what basically people are going to say.
Well,
the economy screwed up because we've let a group of people manipulate our money, and because those people have been greedy, they've been inflating the amount of money. I mean, think about it, man. If you can not only turn paper into gold, but you can make somebody else make the paper that you're going to get the gold from, so you don't even have to make paper to turn it into gold, and you can even pay somebody else to do the process to turn it into gold, and then you sit back and just collect all the gold, how long before Midas Touch takes effect and you end up basically destroying the entire world?
Well, and do you think that the majority of the people out there in this world that recognize the how wrong that is shouldn't stand up and vote for a man like Donald Trump to become president because he says
Donald
at least...
Donald Trump didn't say nothing about doing anything about that. Ron Paul was the last person who was talking
well,
about that.
Well, Donald Trump, Ron Paul, any of the politicians... It doesn't.
The point is, nobody would even talk about Ron. They wouldn't even give him a chance to actually debate with the other politicians.
That's right. That's why I started not listening to Fox News, because even Fox News did that to Ron Paul. I was a Ron Paul supporter. Still am. I think he'd been a good president. But the thing is, you see how the game is played. If it ain't one of the first two establishment candidates, then you ain't getting a chance to get your candidate in there. They don't give the Libertarian a fair shake on there. And it's also financial that if you ain't got thousands of dollars, it costs you at least $1,000 just to sign up to become the president these days. All right, they didn't have that back in the day. You didn't have to be able to raise a lot of funds during Lincoln's time and all the presidents back in those days. But nowadays, if you ain't got no money, you ain't becoming president, because nobody in this world's even going to know you exist, just like they tried to put Ron Paul to the back of the fence so that nobody would see him or hear what he had to say. And that's why I despise the mainstream media, and that's why I was glad that Trump got elected. I feel like it was a win for the American people and the world in general. Even if he ain't the epitome of perfection, he's not the establishment Democrat. He's not the establishment Republican. And what I concern most about is whether or not they're going to try to do what they did to Kennedy on him. Because that scenario playing out right there would be the last straw that broke the camel's back. The American people wouldn't take it anymore. That's why Trump got all the people in there that he got that would come in to vote for him, because they seen that the mainstream media hated him. They demonized him. They called him everything under the sun. The same thing that they had been calling the American people and the American police department and the American military. All these different things. The mainstream media has demonized our soldiers, has demonized our police officers, has demonized our people, and demonized every candidate ever running for public office. And they have been manipulating, lying to, and trying to further their agenda all this time. And finally, the American people finally said, that's it. I'm tired of being lied to, and I know that they're going to try to steal this election, just like they stole them in all the prior elections. And so we the people, we came out in masses this go, and we voted for this guy. Now hopefully he's not the biblical Antichrist. Hopefully he's not a Manchurian candidate. Hopefully he's not what the conspirators think. Hopefully he's a real man, and he's an honest man, and he holds to his word and does what he says he's going to do and helps America out to become strong, because you can't help everybody else out if you're weak yourself. And if our house is a total mess, it's total shambles, there's a saying by, I think it's a Chinese saying, that he who lives in glass house should not throw stone. And to me that sounds like common sense, because if you live in a glass house, then you shouldn't be throwing rocks. Otherwise, your house gonna come down on you. So, you know, if your house is dirty, you need to clean your house up before you complain about somebody else's house. Since this is our house, this world out here, the whole world in America is our house, then we need to clean it up before we go out there and start trying to clean up somebody else's house. You know, like I said, these are my views. And it's not my intention to be offensive to anybody, but you gotta understand where I come from. You gotta understand, like, where my father-in-law was coming from. When my father-in-law, he doesn't like people with long hair because he thought they were all representative of drugs and hippies. That's because back in those days, if you would have been watching the news back in them days, they would have been watching the news. They would have been hearing about, you know, Woodstock and hippies and stuff like that. And they would have thought, like, wow, you know, these doggone hippies out there getting high and all this or whatever. And so the next generation to come out, they're going to try to raise their kids not to be hippies, which the generation after that, which my brother-in-law wasn't a hippie. And his views were slightly different than his father's, just like all of my views are slightly different than, you know, people older than me. But if you follow that media all the way back from the newspaper all the way to the present day digital video on the World Wide Web, then you're going to find out that people were out there saying a lot of things about a lot of subjects to either demonize or vote for one way or the other. It was all about manipulating people's mind into taking a certain point of view to get the masses to react in a certain way, such as coming out and electing a man like Donald Trump. Do I think Donald Trump's a racist? Heck no, I don't. I don't think he's a xenophobe, a homophobe, or anything like that. I think he's got his own set of morals, and he raises his family the way he does, or the way he was raised, or whatever.
Hey, I don't think he sees any color but green.
Well, that's your right to feel that way. You know?
Well, that means basically if you got two people that are offering him a deal, and one's black and one's white, and the guy that's black's got the better deal, he ain't gonna pay no attention to the color of his skin. He's gonna pay attention to that deal.
Well, so be it.
Because that's what's gonna affect him.
So be it.
He doesn't let his mind get in the way of worrying about what somebody looks like when it comes and ends up cut. Basically, he doesn't cut his nose off despite his face.
Well, and if you're going to be running a business such as the corporate United States, and if you're going to run the business, you might as well have the best businessman in charge, and he's the one that's going to see past all the color and all the political and find the best deal for the country and move the economy forward. Now, is that going to benefit society as a whole? To some extent, yeah, financially there might be more jobs out there, but all the other issues out there pertaining to, you know, women's rights and, you know, social justice or whatever, is he going to have time to work on all that? I don't know. He's one man working with Congress, working with the Senate. They all have to do it as a team in order to make things the way that they should be. He's going to have the mainstream media to contend with. He's going to have the alternative media contend with. All the eyes are on this man watching him to see what he's going to be able to rally the troops and accomplish. And I wish him all the best in the world. And I hope that all the shenanigans behind the scene keep getting pointed out. If there's protesters out there, you know, tearing up people's property and stuff, they need to be held accountable. You know, and if there are good police officers out there doing good work, then they need to be recognized for their good works, and they need to be recognized for their bad works. That's the way the whole justice thing needs to work out. And, you know, Trey Gowdy said it, that Lady Justice wears a blindfold because that's the way it's supposed to be. There's no bias on the side of the judge. You take the facts, you weigh them in, and let the justice prevail. A lot of times there's people in prison that don't belong in prison. A lot of times there's people in mental institutions that don't belong there. Sometimes the justice fails. At this point in the time, it's the best doggone system that we got to work with until somebody comes along with something better and can get everybody to stop bickering amongst each other and try to find some sort of common ground and compromise. We're always going to have these ups and downs in society. But what we can't do is just sit by idly by and just give up and be paranoid and freak out over everything that comes out there. It's not time to go back to sleep, people. It's time to continue to move forward to try to make things better. And if the man doesn't do what he said he's going to do, if he doesn't try to make the world a better place, then you find it in your hearts and whatever to rally the troops again, bring everybody out and get them to vote for the one you think's good. We might have to do this 10,000 or 15,000 times before we finally get the right guy to do the right job and whatever, but meantime, life goes on. We're living off the blood, sweat, and tears of all the folks that had paved the stones that we're walking on today. All the soldiers that fell in battle, whether you believe in the battle or not. They sacrificed because of what they believed in. Whether it's right or wrong, nonetheless, we're standing on the road that they paved. Now, you got to ask yourself the big question. What kind of road am I going to leave for the children of the future? Is it going to be one of hate and discontent? And we can sit around and debate on whether I'm right or wrong, or you're right or wrong, all day long, every day, about any subject under the sun. But if Lady Justice takes the blindfold off and chooses one side or the other, then this whole thing that we call society, might as well just hang it up. You're at the mercy of whoever decides whatever, because they have more power than you. Right now, we're kind of lucky, even if we think that things are as bad as they are. We're kind of lucky because we still have an opportunity to open our mouths and speak. There are some societies where you don't do that. Otherwise, you pay the consequences, which are usually pretty drastic. And not every prison in the world gives you 3 hots and a cot. Not every prison in the world gives you a blanket and a pillow. There are people out there in this world who maybe deserve to be in jail, and some people who maybe deserve to be in the worst jail. But until we fix what is the actual disease that is eating humanity alive, it's all going to stay the same. I'm 51 years old. I'm here living with you all in the year 2017. And I still hear the words about babies around the world starving to death. I still hear about children in war-torn zones. I still hear about bombs and bullets flying. I still hear about people getting killed because of what they believe. And it tears at my soul. And it should tear at yours too. If you concern yourself with the fact that we're all connected in some way or somehow through the universe or time and space itself because we're all humans, it should concern you when somebody else in this world is suffering. You should be worried. Am I saying that you need to spend the rest of your life stressing and worrying over everything under the sun that you have no control over? No. I'm saying that as you walk through your path in life, if you just remember to be humble and respectful to others, then I think you'll do just fine. And I think that if enough people are doing that and helping each other out and taking care of one another, paying attention to the needs of their neighbors and their communities and their families, and not exercising violence or greed to get what it is that they want, or manipulation, lies, and propaganda. Humanity's got a long way to go to repair a lot of stuff. I mean, right now, we're living in what they call civilization. I'm sure that there's been some times and places throughout the entirety of history that the barbarians ruled. Whoever was the strongest guy told you what to do, and you either did it or died. Or worse. And believe me, in this world, there's things worse than death. I sometimes struggle with trying to figure out a way to put a message out to the world. Don't always have the right terminology to basically get my views across to people. And I try to remain consistent to the extent of you know exactly where I stand and how I feel. And I can't sit here and tell you that every view that I got is the right view. I can tell you this is why I'm here where I'm at today, because of the way that I was raised and my belief system, all the way down to my political views and all that. This is where I stand. And I'm willing to sit down and talk with other folks in a respectful manner and debate whatever needs to be debated in order to try to finally find a resolution or a middle ground. And that's what the world needs. The world needs everybody doing that. Around your dinner tables, in your churches, in your congresses, in your senates, in your parliaments. The world needs more people sitting around and discussing and trying to work towards solutions. And then the world needs to find the motivation of the people to actually get together and make those solutions a reality. Otherwise, we keep on going down the same doggone muddy road all the time. And I don't know if you've ever walked down a muddy road before, but if you do, especially if you're wearing boots, it gets harder and harder as you go, because you keep picking up more mud and more mud. And before you finally get part way down that road, you've got tons of weight of mud stuck to your feet. And if you finally do make it to the other side, you're so exhausted, if there is a job to do, you ain't got the energy to even complete the task until you sit down and clean off doggone mud off your shoes, get yourself organized and be able to start off fresh and work things out. There's one way of protesting things in this world that a lot of people don't exercise. They don't try. The best way to protest anything in this world is to actually take it upon yourself to begin to lead by example. If somebody's standing there next to me and they're telling a racist joke, I'm going to turn my back and walk away to show them that I'm not tolerant of that. I don't have to sit there and argue with them and try to explain to them or convince them over to my side. I just don't have to be a part of the trash coming out of their mouth. And if other people see me doing that, it's a whole lot easier for the second guy to walk away when he saw the first guy walk away from somebody sitting there talking about other people in a disrespectful manner. And you might be surprised. That one sitting there telling that racist joke may be the only one standing there saying, What did I say? Did I say something wrong? Oh, I was just kidding, man. And everybody else is gone. That's the way to protest. You gather your crowds and you go out there in your communities with your signs and your rocks and your sticks, and you get violent and tear up your community and make a fool out of yourself. Anybody in the future who you wanted to join your cause has just watched your actions, and they watched what happened to you for your actions, and they're not going to follow your cause. Why would I want to go out there and stand in the cold with a stick and burn tires and bust out windows when I'm going to end up going to jail? Not only cold and miserable, I'm going to jail. I want to go to jail. What would have been better for them is to, instead of going out there with their signs and their protest, is to go into their local communities and do some things that would show their actions in a positive manner and to educate the people towards, this isn't right, maybe we should do something about it. And people's frustration finally bring them to violence. That's why the race riots happened in Kansas City. That's why they happened in California. That's why they happened in Chicago. That's why they happened in Ferguson, Missouri, and all the different places around here. Because somebody was behind the scenes getting them all riled up. Somebody was behind the scenes lying and propagandizing. And their leaders thought it to be the best idea to go out there and start to scream, no justice, no peace, and start tearing up their own communities and harming their own people. Where was the common sense in all that? And what did they have to gain? What did they have to lose? What did they gain? Because seems to me the government's still in charge. And if we're talking the true sense of the government by the people, for the people, of the people, and your average Joe doesn't follow behind somebody who's actually out there trying to harm somebody. Your average Joe doesn't want to steal from you. The average Joe isn't the one who hates you because of the way you look. There are some jerks in society in every race, religion, creed, color, and political background who will do terrible things to you in order to further their own beliefs and hopes that everybody else is going to follow. But I'm sitting here and I'm submitting to the world that the majority of all the people in this world are good people, and even those on the bad side have potential to have a change of heart. As an advocate for good over evil, I got at my disposal a microphone, a computer, an internet connection, and I can try to speak common sense to the extent where it actually sounds like I'm ranting or preaching or like my friend always tells me, I'm standing on a soapbox. But the day I stop talking, and the day you stop talking, and the day everybody out there who cares about this world stops talking, will be the day that nobody in this world is concerned. And let it be what it be. Let the chips fall where they may. But I kind of like don't want to wait around for World War III before I speak out against World War III. I kind of like to not want to go into a second civil war. You know, you can kill me right now. That's all right. I've lived an interesting life. I've seen a lot of stuff. You know, I didn't really miss out on anything because I've seen it all. I've seen everything there is to see. It's in even remotely in my interest, except I haven't been like to deep space and lived out the sci-fi fantasies of the world. I'd like to know where some things came from, like the pyramids. I'm sure that sometime, maybe in a second life or third life or wherever it is we go after this, I you know, maybe I'll get the answers. Maybe I'll never know the mysteries of the universe. But what I do know right now is I have grandchildren. I have children who are adult.
Yeah, I know we should probably have a music break.
Yeah, we could do that.
We've been at it hammer and tongs for almost an hour and a half.
That's right. Sometimes things need to be
actually
said.
Two and a half hours.
That's right. Sometimes things need to be said.
Yeah, and sometimes when you keep hammering on something without taking a break to make sure you haven't messed it up, you end up messing it up.
Well, I'm going to see if I can find a specific song from the hippie generations. I was born the
hippie,
in the 60s.
The hippie dippy generation?
Yep.
Those people are burning and inhaling plants that we lock up every day.
Well, It all, I guess it all depends on your view of what a hippie was. I had long hair at one point. I guess I was a hippie.
I'm going by what you said earlier, man.
Well, that's pretty much what the government said. It's pretty much what the mainstream media and the elderly said. That in the day, that's what they were. Stoners. They were a bunch of dope freaks. And, you know,
and they're all evil. There's millions of cases of a guy getting stoned and beating the crap out of his wife.
Well,
that's alcohol I'm thinking of.
I don't see that being the case, because most stoners just want to sit around and eat nachos and chocolate and, you know, soda or whatever, you know. They ain't got the energy to jump up and, you know, whatever. It's hard to beat somebody up when you're talking about peace and love.
Yeah, it's kind of makes the point that you put a bunch of people who are talking peace and love in jail, and when they come out the other end, they're talking hate and violence.
Well,
oh man, that really worked, man. That really worked.
That's one of the.
We just took a bunch of people that really shouldn't have been criminalized and turned them into criminals now.
Well, that's one of the subjects out there in this world that needs to be resolved. You know,
well, if they took your money and my money to pay for it.
Well, why do you think we're on this radio show talking? There's got to be talk about common sense.
I think it's time for some civil disobedience, man.
So let's
find every means you have to protect yourself from it, but stop giving them your money. If they ain't doing the job that you're paying them to do, then, I mean, if you go down there to the hair salon or the barber to get a haircut, he sits you in a chair, or she sits you in a chair, and talks to you for 20 minutes and don't cut a single hair, are you going to pay them?
I don't know. It depends on if I'm interested in the conversation.
If you came there for a haircut, that means you're going to pay twice for it, because you have to go pay somebody else now that's not going to talk your ear off and is actually going to cut your hair without cutting your ear off.
Well, like I said, man,
How about this? You go down there to get a haircut, tell them you want a high and tight, and they give you a mohawk.
So what do you think we should do? You think we should go out and protest with our signs and beat people up?
Did I say that, or are you strawmanning me?
No, I'm just asking. I want
did
to know
I
what...
say that? No, did I say that, or are you strawmanning me?
I just said no. I'm just asking.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, because I didn't say that.
I'm just asking.
I actually gave a solution, and you're strawmanning it, going for another solution that had nothing to do with what I said. What did I say? Think back.
Isn't that what the mainstream media does?
So you're mainstream media now.
No, but isn't that what it happens? You understand what I'm saying?
What did I say? I'm holding your feet to the fire.
You need to get people to stop spending their money in places where they know that somebody has done some terrible things in order to make some clothes or a profit. I understand that. You need to have civil disobedience and stop paying your taxes. I understand that.
Now you're getting there. You find every legal means you can to protect yourself, and you stop paying those taxes.
Looks like Muddy's up and wants to join in on the last portion. Can you add him to the call?
Yeah, we going to that music?
Yeah, I was getting ready to do that. And
let's do
that.
You
sparked up another conversation.
Let's do that and we'll add him in. I think there might be somebody else wants in too. I'll have to look.
All right, everybody, you're listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Stay tuned. Peace and love.
Should be back very
And the sign said, long hair freaky people need not apply. So I tucked my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine upstanding young man, I think you do. So I took off my hat, said, imagine that, ha, me working for you. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Looking at the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the sign? And the sign said, anybody caught trespassing with a shot on sight. So I jumped up the fence and I yelled at the house, "Hey, what gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out, but to keep Mother Nature in? Ha! If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner." Sign said, "Everybody welcome, come and kneel down and pray." But when they passed round the plate at the end of it all, I didn't have a penny to pay. So I got me a pen and a paper, and I made up my own little sign. I said, "Thank you, dear Lord, for thinking about me. I'm alive. Oh, I'm doing fine." Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Knocking at the scenery, breaking. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign. Blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind.
Hello, everybody listening to the Knights of the Round Table. They say that Lady Justice wears a blindfold for a reason. They say that life isn't always fair and that things don't always work out. We can understand that. We can understand the concept behind justice. We can understand the concept behind decency and doing the right thing even when you think nobody else is going to join in with you. So, each one of us, at some point in life, we take a stand for what it is that we believe in, and we stand up for justice, and we try to balance out the scales. We try to make things fair and even for everybody else out there. You know, because of my upbringing, there's certain things that you're never going to get me to agree on. There's certain parts of me that I'm not going to change because of your views. Now, if by some way or another you can lead your life in a manner in which to convince me that your way is better, I might just walk over on your side of the road and take that path. But in the meantime, I'm going to stand firm on my ground, I'm going to stand firm on my beliefs, and I'm going to defend what I believe to be right as long as, you know, there's justice at hand there. A lot of good people out there have worked hard and said a lot of things and did a lot of things in order to try to bring about a better world for humanity. And we've lost a few people along the way.
I can't talk about that right now.
No, I can talk about it because the guy was my friend.
We can't talk about that till she announces.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's her wish.
Anyway.
But it's a shame. Yes, it is.
We've lost a lot of people. We've gained a lot of people. Moving forward towards something that we all visualize to be a better world. And we got a presidential candidate sitting up there. He's bucking the system. He's rocking the foundation of the Congress and the Senate and trying to point out that the power of the people should be in the people's hand. Let's hope he's the man of his word and does what he says. I've heard all the arguments in every single direction for every single subject under the sun. And I've tried to point out common sense the best I know common sense to be. The Knights of the Round Table wasn't put together for glory, fame, or fortune, or greed. It was put together as a platform for a place that people could come together and find some sort of common ground and solutions to problems in the world. Not all the subjects that we talk about here are going to be subjects that people agree on and even want to even hear. And some will say you're beating a dead horse, some will say you're on the soapbox, some say you're on a rant, some will say you're just crazy. But as long as there is a perceived problem in the world that I've been told by the alternative media, by the government, by individuals, word of mouth, that this world is in jeopardy, that there's people starving, that there's need, people dying in war zones or because of their color or their beliefs or whatever, I can't repair nothing that has happened prior to the moment that I'm standing in right now. I can put my words out there as a comfort or a guidance to try to make sure that we don't repeat times of the past. I'm not the only one in this world who's out there trying to speak common sense to the world to try to bring about a change that people can get on board with. I'm just the average Joe, just like everybody else. I got a heart just like everybody else. I got dreams and aspirations and family. And I got a country that I love. I don't know how we got exactly where we are because the history told by different people will be told in different ways and there will be different heroes and different villains, whoever tells the story. I know the heritage of the people that I was supposedly descended from. I know the wrongs and the rights from both sides of that fence. I know that at some time in my life I made the conscious decision to either repeat what my father did or not repeat what my father did. I took the lessons of life from my mother, from my brother, from my cousins, from my aunts, from my uncles, from my friends, from my schools, from my government, from my all the people of the world that made me what I am today and to believe in what I believe in today.
I hear you. You know, I got up, did my show. I actually got up about 6:40 and I said, yeah, we'll take it over at the top of the hour. I didn't even have any coffee in me. It still hurt to breathe in, so. But I'm breathing fine. But not breath. But I had thoughts running through my head that woke me up. And it was the thoughts of, you got all the beer pouring out here. You got all these people who just say one thing and say, and you know, and you go look for it, you know, and you can't find it on the web where the person that they're talking about is actually involved in what they say that they're involved in. And it's just a bunch of schmear porn. And, you know, not just fear porn, but schmear porn. Because they can't let it. You know, I watched that inaugural speech. I watched the address, all of it. Listened to every word of the, how he decides he wants to take care of trade. How he decides, you know, no more watching countries bringing their troops home while we fight the battles and pay for it. It's time they, you know, hey, if you want to do a big war and you want to do this stuff, then, you know, you don't have the equipment, you don't have the people, okay, at least help us pay for helping. Don't put it on our shoulders. Been torn down by an idiot. Yeah, you know, one of the people put a comment down in the box down below one of the videos. He says, well, where's Hillary? Well, I paid attention. Yep, she's where she always was. Right behind the monkey-eared destroyer that she's always been right behind, trying to tear down America and tear this down. And I couldn't believe so many people actually voted for it. You know, I'm sorry Trump doesn't wear a double D bra. And he doesn't wear a dress. And he's not female. We ain't ever had a female president anyway, but we've had some darn good presidents. And they were all crooks, of course. But we've had some darn good presidents. Now, we just went through 2 years of somebody that I don't think even got legally elected. Or shouldn't have legally been a president. Tearing us down. Right after 9/11. It was a Muslim attack. Oh yeah. So we vote a Muslim into office. Yeah, that ought to help the economy. Well, I just look at it this way, Ben. If Trump's dishonest, as they say, he's been in a lot of rough jams and he's learned how to make it from the bottom and work his way up. Because he made some dumb decisions here and there. But people learn from their mistakes. And if he's as greedy as people think, well, maybe he just wants to spend some of that money instead of kill the economy. Where, what good is it to have money if you can't buy a car because there are none? What good is it if the electric companies are down? Nobody has a job. Who wants to live in a nation like that? I figure maybe he's got a little common sense and his doggone agenda is not to destroy and tear down things. You know, you go to a job, okay? You go and interview. And the boss thinks he's interviewing you. I interview the job. What can I expect here? Blah, blah, blah. And he says, well, what can I expect out of you? Well, if, you know, I can do this, 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 and this. And he says, and I ask him what is offered. And, you know, sometimes they look at me a little strange, but you know what? I tell them I'm not after the job. I'm not after getting up on top. I just want to work, make money, and not live in fear of my job's going to be gone tomorrow if I do my job. And I think that's pretty much what a lot of people out here want. So here's the deal. So you get a new boss. What do you do? Do you tear him down? Destroy the company? Talk crap behind his back and try to get everybody in the company to hate him? No. If you want to see the boss do a favor for you, like make your life actually worthwhile, and give you a job you can depend on, maybe you need to get behind the boss and start doing the job the way that he wants to. I'm so sick and tired of people tearing down. I seen one lady, just anybody that said anything positive, she had some stupid, idiotic comment of, oh, you're just a racist. Oh, you're the, she had nothing, no content in anything that she said. Well, I had enough and I decided to, I said, you know what? I ain't seen one positive thing come out of your mouth. I think you're one of them big fat broads taking up three quarters of the couch with five bags of potato chips under your arm, talking crap about other people and how lazy they are. I said, don't even attempt to grow a brain cell. I don't think you have it in you. Try growing a brain.
Well, you have to ask why it is that they're in this position that they are and why they believe what they believe in. So I started this show off by posting some deals about talking about why the media needs to be held responsible. We got a president who's actually at least his press secretary and him is going to hold the mainstream media's feet to the fire, and it needs to be done. Even in the alternative media, the same thing, because all this thing... People don't act the way they do for no reason whatsoever. They have heard things instead of spending the time to find out whether they were truth or fiction. They just went with the, jumped on the bandwagon and rolled.
Yeah, just repeat it like morons. You know what? You can spend most of your time doing that garbage and get a false opinion. Like I said, I searched around. I didn't find anything that they were... You know, I want to see it come from the man that they said it happened from. I didn't see none of it. Here's my point, man. Now, you can spend your time following stupidity. Or let's say you're the chief of a tribe and you're worried that you're going to have to take the people of your tribe elsewhere. I respect that man. I love him with all my heart. But I know if his family didn't have tight bonds, they weren't closely knitted together and felt the same, then how are you going to move your people? I'll tell you what, at home, what do you care more about the most about their sisters? It's your wife, your kids, your grandkids?
I care about everything, because everything out here, because I believe that we're all connected. I believe that all this whole world, everything affects everything, and some would call it the butterfly effect or whatever. I don't know. There's all kinds of terminology for it, but nonetheless, what I say, the words that come out of my mouth send ripples out to the world, and if I can send the positive words out there, if people can have the patience long enough to hear what I have to say to understand the concept of what I'm trying to speak, if they don't cherry pick what I say and try to pick it apart with terminology and craziness, they might just learn something from me, just like I might just learn something from them from whenever they're speaking. I pay attention to words. I pay attention to words in lyrics. I pay attention to words in government and the news and society in general.
Your most drive is unity and working together, is it not?
Well, that's what I believe, that if we're going to pave the roads, see, we're standing on the roads right now that somebody else had paved for us. Whether you think this road is a good road or a bad road, you know, that's up for debate, whatever. The fact of the matter is the people that came prior to us gave us the lifestyle that we're living right now. And even though here in America things might not be as great as they should be, there are a lot of worse places in this world to stand. And this is the point I've been trying to get across to the youth out there, that you think the world is bad. you think that there's that things couldn't get any worse, go stand over there in some of the nations that are in war zones right now. Go stand in the nations that are in poverty and try to understand their plight from their shoes. If you want,
maybe you need to play that. Hey, maybe you need to play that song. It's a holiday in Cambodia.
Yeah.
Too late. But here's the deal. A house divided against itself cannot stand.
That's
all right,
true.
Let's help the boss. Let's get the family unified and in one like mind.
Well, that's what because I've been trying to do, man. I'm just one man. You know, people don't
that's
always
right.
agree on what I have to say, and I don't expect them to. I don't expect them to understand what I'm saying unless they actually take the time to pay attention to the details of the message that I'm trying to get out. Sometimes I'll be in the process of a profound statement that I'm about to tell somebody something that they would turn that light on, and somebody will grab something that I said, and before I get a chance to put it all in context, take it down a whole completely different road. And then they will think I'm being defensive because of my trying to defend my position, when in reality, had they allowed me to finish what it was I was saying and then critique what I said, they would understand the concept of why I said what I said in the way that I said. The mainstream media took a piece of what Trump said and caused a whole lot of people of a certain ethnic origin to believe that he called them all murderers and rapists and killers and druggies and all this. But listen to me. I don't care what that. Look, I don't care why they get paid for it. I don't care that it's their job. I'm just saying, stating the purpose that they said that, but they took the entire thing out of context. They had to have been listened from start to finish, and everybody could have stepped back and heard exactly what he said. Then that point of view might not have caused as much problems as it did. This is the same thing. This is why I give you guys the opportunity to speak for yourself, to go ahead and finish your statement, what you're trying to say out there, so that you got the opportunity for people to take what you said in perspective and understand the whole premises of why you spoke what you spoke. Words are powerful. You know,
right.
When I talk about things like... When I talk about things like I talked on the other on the beginning portion of this show, it wasn't because I hate any specific group of people or whatever. I may not approve of their actions, but what I'm trying to put in perspective is the fact that everything out there, for whatever reason, anybody does anything, somebody prior to them either made that look glamorous or made it look okay or whatever, and so now here we stand. In a situation where we got a new world beginning, where people are waking up and they're seeing all this stuff, they're hearing all this information, they're going to make decisions, and the divide and conquer is going to continue down the same crazy path that we're on. And unless we can find that middle, that common ground, we can't resolve things. We can't.
That's my point. Don't listen to the divide and conquer. Do your own homework. I never heard a preacher tell you something's in the Bible without backing it up with some scripture or telling you read it for yourself and study it. Never heard.
Well,
I have. I have. I heard one. And boy, he was so full. He just torqued my jaw. But he got taken down. So, but that's not the point. The main deal is, don't believe everything you see. Don't believe everything you hear. Don't believe everything you read. Find out for yourself. And before you go out and speak against somebody, get it straight first. That way you won't look like that fat broad taking up 3/4 of the couch with a bunch of bags of potato chips talking crap about everybody. That's, you know, because basically that one of my pet peeves is stupidity. And to me, I gotta shoot them down once in a while. It just rears up in me. I've seen too much. And, you know, like I said once before, I left radio for just a little bit to get me straight. I needed it. And, you know, I did. And I'm so glad at that. I stopped just hitting every doggone thing and taking it as truth. As soon as I hear something, and it sounds kind of strange, or oh wow, I want to know. I want to see the facts, and I study for it. That way, I don't sound like a fool tooting somebody else's horn.
Well, where I stand on this ground right here, we got a picture on Knight's podcast page where there's tons and tons of podcasts of all kinds of things said throughout the entirety of our time. There's a picture on there with a knight, and it says Knight's Code of Honor. It says, let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, and courage, and the love for one another be our guide. Grant us the wisdom to do what is right. That says it all, folks. That wraps it up into one little nifty common sense phrase. And an honorable knight will humble himself before those that he serves. It doesn't matter whether you're a pastor of a church or a president or a congressman or a senator or a parliament or whatever kind of government you got yourself in. If you're a servant of the community and you could follow that little basic deal right there, that truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, and courage, and the love for one another be your guide, and let wisdom grant you the knowledge to do what is right. Isn't that what we all want?
And more to hear it happen your way.
That's it.
I said, if you were my boss, I'd bend over backwards to make it happen your way.
Well, and that's what we should rally behind our president. As long as he's doing what's right, we need to make sure that that path keeps on being protected, and we back our president. If he turns out to be a stink bomb, then we gotta stand up and speak out against it. But we gotta sometimes see, you know, in an abusive situation, child has really no choice, and some women feel like they have no choice, and some women will blame themselves for their own abuse that somebody else took upon themselves to think that they were so much better that they could abuse their wife or their child. And that child is raised up in that situation, seeing his mom get beat up and his dad being the aggressor, or maybe even vice versa in some cases. But regardless, if that child is raised up in that scenario, there's a good chance that he might repeat that to his family. But if for that one child who looks at that situation and disagrees with that situation and breaks those chains and moves on and makes an attempt to not repeat that and to treat his family better, this is what the world needs to learn, that lesson from that one child who was able to break those chains of despair.
Yeah.
And if we could come to that kind of common ground, that we want to break the chains of the violence and the craziness that the past governments or representatives or even people in general or whatever that they had done to each other. Has to come some time when humanity has to understand that regardless, we're all living on the same rock together. We're all family. We're all pieces of the same puzzle, that without one of us, we all maybe miss out on something wonderful. Lots of words I keep trying to shout out. I keep trying to shout out common sense. I don't always have the right terminology to say it the way it needs to be said in order for people to understand. I'm trying to get to a point, but sometimes it's hard. Because even in our own conversation, even in the Knights of the Round Table, we have times when we actually pick each other's words apart and try to steer the conversation towards that solution. We get there eventually. But sometimes what somebody has on their heart really truly needs to be said.
That's right.
I want to see this world better. I really honestly do. I know that the road before us is a hard road. I know that the road before us is going to be a long road. It's not going to be some easy quest that we can just tiptoe through the tulips, and we might fall down and get hurt on the way, and we might have to struggle. We might actually have to have our friends have our back to, you know, motivate us to keep going on. In the heat of battle, I want you guys by my side because you're my trusted friends. You're not my servants. If anything, I would be your servant just because of the honor that you've bestowed upon me by allowing your presence to be with mine and taking your time to try to work towards the same goal. I'm humbled every time somebody gets on the microphone and says some words of wisdom out there. I'm honored. I'm grateful. I feel like I got a person on my side. We're working towards the same goal. We don't always have the same words to say what we need to say, but by God, somehow or another, we'll get it out. We got to have the patience and the understanding and the common sense to allow what needs to be said to be said. And if it sounds like I'm beating a dead horse, if it sounds like I'm on a soapbox, or if it sounds like it's all a rant, well, I guess that's what's going to have to be. Because by God, when I shout it from the mountain, I'm going to shout it from the mountain as it's coming through my eyes, just the way that I see it. But try to do it in the most respectful manner, in a way to get some ears to open up and the message to be able to go to the heart of the individuals out there who have the potential to make this thing better, which is you, the people. And if I fail and somebody else succeeds, I'm going to rally behind them. Anybody out there who can speak the words necessary to pierce the ears and the hearts of the many, to get this world to understand something as simple as we're a family, and there shouldn't be nobody starving in the year 2017 with the technology we got. We shouldn't be in wars with one another. We shouldn't be destroying things. We should be working in harmony with nature. We got the pieces of the puzzle. Take your hand, pick your piece of the puzzle up and lay it on the table, and I will place mine right beside yours where it belongs. When everybody does that.
First 2 days with no bombs dropped by the U.S. in 8 years. Don't say much for Obama, does it?
Nope. Well, I see Barry in here and hasn't had an opportunity to speak. Barry, you got anything to say before we get up out of here?
Not today, Shaziz. I'm kind of not having a great day. I just joined your conversation and listened to what's being said, and usually I like to share my thoughts, but today's not a good day for me, guys, so I'll pass.
I can understand, brother. And send my love. That's the best I can say. I can send my love.
Thank you.
What about you, Thomas? Man. You got any last things you want to throw out there on the table?
Yeah, read the comments in the very Skype program. You're sitting there with the power to do so with.
Yeah.
Just click open that thing so that the text is in there next to the images of us. I mean, you don't need to see any of our faces. I'm not showing any video. Buddy, you gonna show video?
Nah.
What's that gotta do with anything?
I'm pretty ugly.
I mean,
hey.
You ain't gotta focus on looking at our faces when you're talking to us. You can read what's you know, like things like Barry has said and whatnot over there on the side if you want. You can use that extra perception for that rather than looking at, you know, the icon that I've got up there.
Mm. I wasn't even looking at that icon. I was looking over dead space. Anyway.
You're staring off in space.
Yeah, because whenever I talk, I immerse myself in the world out there. I talk from the heart. I tell the way I'm seeing it. When I look at the world, I look through a different set of eyes than everybody else out there. When I mention a subject, when I talk about something, I'm believing it as I'm talking about it. I'm feeling the pain from everybody else when I'm talking about it. it's to me isn't just a it isn't just a conversation. It ain't just about a baby starving in the world. It's about how that baby, if I was that baby sitting in the dirt, flies buzzing around me in a mess, and my belly was hungry, I would want somebody, anybody, to come along and pick me up and to show me love and to feed me and to take care of me and to heal me. And I know that every single person out there has that capability. I know because my good book said so. And I know that even if it wasn't for the good book itself, I know that the heart of humanity has the knowledge and the power to literally do what is right, to literally make a choice between good and evil any given time. And so when I talk from the heart, and I talk with compassion, and I talk with vision of what I am seeing of the world as I am seeing it. Now, this isn't to try to get an agenda going. If it's an agenda, political or religious or whatever, this is a talk about an agenda of the heart, of caring for somebody else beside yourself. And so when the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm feeling these words. I'm emotional with these words. I'm putting everything that I have on the table in order for everyone else out there to either reject or accept and pass on or not. The Knights of the Round Table is a circle. It's where nobody's sitting at. Nobody is above or below anybody else. We're all on an even plane as what this world should be like. There's no reason for starvation in the world. There's no reason for sickness in the world. And everybody doesn't have to be offended by every single thing under the sun, but they are. And for us to try to resolve the issues that we got going on, including war and starvation and sickness, we got to come to some sort of understanding that each one of you is the solution and have been all along. I'm the solution. Barry's the solution. Muddy's the solution. Thomas is the solution. All of us, each and every one of the people in the chat room are the solution. The people on the social media networks and all the other radio networks, each and every individual out there are the solution. We're looking for some magic pill. We're looking for some magic man to show up on the scene that's going to fix it all. When in reality, the only one that can fix your house is you. The only one who cares to fix your house is you. Unless you find some loving neighbor who looks over and sees your plight and decides to come over and try to resolve the issue for you, you are on your own. You're raising your family. You're raising your children. You're leading by example to your neighbors, your friends, your communities, your governments, your congresses and senates and parliaments and your continents, whatever, you know, your country. But at the end of all this conversation that we've had, the end solution is you. And in order for you to be safe and your neighbor to be safe, you all have to stand on that common ground to understand one another, to work with one another, and to make things right. It's as simple as that. The words coming out of my mouth, you can take them or you can leave them. You can pass the podcast on or you can delete it. I must say what I have to say when it's my time to speak. I put this platform out here. I offer you the microphone. It's yours to speak. It's that easy. Talk to those folks out there you want to work problems out with. Talk to what you thought was your enemy and you might find a friend. Pick up that good book and find the good in it. Or lay it down and look somewhere else. One way or another, each and every one of us is going to go out of this world the same exact way we came in. Before I leave this world, I want to put at least one shiny stone down there on the ground for everyone who comes after me, to be able to at least have one step of their life be a little bit smoother than it would have been otherwise. That's the best I can do, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love, and I wish you Godspeed, and I wish you all the best of the world, no matter where you stand or what color you are or what you believe in. I wish you the best. You just follow that Knight's Creed that we got up there on the Knights of the Round Table. Knight's Code of Honor. Let truth, honor, justice, respect, fairness, wisdom, courage, and the love for one another be your guide. And grant us the wisdom to do what's right. There ain't nothing more or nothing less than you can ask of any of your friends, your family, or your leaders of this world. Peace and love. Take care.
Old woman! Man! Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people, I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they'd put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Do you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're Knights of the Round Table, three dots where we're able. We're new routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're Knights of the Round Table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're rock and mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm. Impartigable. Between our quest, we seek to best and impersonate our gable. It's a busy life in Camelot.
I I have to push the pram a lot.
No, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. Hear ye, hear ye. King Shazir's the Terrible. All those who are kings, Shazir's the Terrible, and the Knights of the Round Table.